Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you Christmas contraband and ancient tales from distant.
All right. Hey, welcome, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday. Which means it's Wild Card Wednesday. Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. It's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah, Wednesday morning. Coming up after the 1:30 news, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us. Matthew is the programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. And their Season 7 opening night is Wednesday, September 18th. And it is a big one. This is a big, big, big deal. It's 2001, A Space Odyssey on the big screen in Theater One at the Pickwick Theater, the newly crowned mega theater, which has the biggest screen in a theater in the Chicagoland area. And to see 2001, A Space Odyssey, the classic Stanley Kubrick movie, on a big screen is pretty special. And on top of that, to see it with Keir Dulay, the star of the movie, in person is pretty amazing. So that's exactly what's going to happen. So Wednesday, September 18th, 2001, A Space Odyssey on the big screen in the mega theater at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. And Keir Dulay is going to be there in person. He'll be interviewed by Stanley Kubrick scholar Raymond Benson at 7 p.m. And then the movie will start at 7:30. There is also a 1 p.m. matinee. Keir Dulay will not be at that one. But if you don't want to stay up late, it's a pretty long film. If you don't want to stay up late, you can see it at 1 p.m. The matinee is only $8 to get in for the 7:30 showing. It's $10 in advance, $12 at the door. There are also VIP tickets for a VIP meet and greet with Keir Dulay. We'll tell you all about that, too. But this is a big deal. So 2001, A Space Odyssey on the big screen at the beautiful Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. And the programmer of the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series will be here to tell us all about it, and that's Matthew Hoffman. That's coming up after the 1:30 news. Also coming up, we're going to talk about the best side one, track one songs. So you listen to a record and you hear that first song, you go, oh my God, that song kicks ass. What a great way to kick off an album. Well, we're going to talk about some of the best side one, track one albums. Wendy's is expanding their breakfast menu for nationwide, and then that's going to get us to talk about some of the best fast food breakfast items. Also, we've got a Know Your Onion coming up. That's where Tom, who is your host of Know Your Onion, reads some news headlines to you, and you have to guess whether they are real or whether they're from The Onion. The Onion, of course, being the great satirical newspaper that runs funny fake news stories and have been around for many years. And you have to, but news right now, the real stuff that's happening in the real world is insane. We're living in certifiably insane times, and sometimes it's really difficult to tell whether a real news story is real or from The Onion. So what happens is we get two people on, two contestants will come on. They play separate rounds. Tom will read you a news headline, and you decide whether it's real or it's from The Onion, and you win. That's how it works. Know Your Onion. That's coming up after the 4:30 news. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. It's interactive. It's updated all the time. And so you should like us right now. And that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. Follow us, like us, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Subscribe to our podcast. Tons of people do, and we really thank you for that. Lots of people listen via podcast, and it's real easy. Go to your iTunes or where you get your podcast, and every single second of every single show is podcast. And go there, subscribe. It's free. It will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. There you go. All right, 312-981-7200, phone number of talk, text, and Wildcard Wednesday requests. Let's say hello to my producer, Tom. Tom Hush. Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right. A little disappointed. I was watching the Cubs, and they just blew it.
Yeah.
Cishek just walked in the winning run.
That's never how you want to see it go down in extra innings.
No, especially when they came back. They were down.
Yeah.
They were down 6-2.
Yeah.
Bryant hits two home runs. Hayward hits two home runs for naught.
That's the game, baby.
And St. Louis and Washington both lost.
Mm. I really like being back in the frustrating days, you know? We had it too good for too little a time.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Did you see what happened to Yelich?
I did.
Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers shattered his kneecap.
And that video was
awful,
rough.
He fouled the ball right onto his kneecap, like the center of his kneecap. He fractured it. He's out for the rest of the season. Mm. I mean, he's one of the best players in the majors, you know. And the Brewers are not completely out of it. They're a little bit below us, but they're not completely out of it. And they could fight. They could have, you know, they still could fight and get back into it and be in a playoff run. But I mean. You lose that guy.
I know they were hanging a lot of hopes on him.
You know? Well, they should have. I mean, you see his numbers, the way that guy played. But yeah, you see, the footage is terrible. I mean, like right off the bat, right straight onto the middle of the knee.
Yeah, imagine what the exit velocity of that ball is straight off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, especially as close as that the ball was to his knee, coming off the bat, it was right by his knee, and it smacked right on the top of that knee. That's sad. It's really sad.
I know.
And kid's a great player.
Absolutely, and you always hate to see. A great player. You hate to see any player
go down
but
yeah.
Especially a player of that caliber.
Yeah.
You know.
No. Well, we're without Baez through the regular season. Maybe he'll come back in the postseason if we make it to the postseason. But anyway, so Cubs just really frustrated me. So that was very upsetting. But anyway, let's go into the newsroom. It's Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Hey, good morning, sir.
How
I was watching that as well.
So, I mean, the bottom of the 10th was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Just to watch them come back, though. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was all for naught, but boy, man.
No,
they climbed back.
They did. And
they were down
6-2 at one point. I think the biggest deficit was 6-2.
Yeah.
And then they came back. They tied it. It was 8-8. You know, they went to extras, and then the bottom of the 10th, Cishek just walks in the winning run.
I learned about Yelich from a text from Jeannie, who I thought was at home sleeping.
Fan.
But
she's
yeah, she texted
fan.
Me.
Yeah. That's really terrible. Did you see the footage?
I haven't watched it yet.
Man, it's painful.
Yeah.
It's painful.
Well, anything off that dead center of your knee?
Right.
Have you ever hit anything really hard
yes,
that doesn't budge?
Not as hard as a baseball coming off the a Major League Baseball coming off of a bat.
No, but I've hit things, you know, before that, like a steel pipe comes to mind, I'm stepping over. But when you hit something right dead center on your knee, it's a different type of pain.
It
than
is.
And it stops you in your tracks.
It really does. It absolutely does. So. So Vic's in the newsroom, and he is here till 5. We're all here until 5. Well, Vic, you're here till 6.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but Vic is covering all the news for our show until 5. Tom's producing. I'm your host. Today is September 11th, and we always must remember what happened 18 years ago today. So we're going to talk a little bit about it. And, you know, throughout the night, we'll mention it to make sure that everybody remembers to stop for a little while and think about it and the loss of life that took place on that day. Everybody who was around remembers where they were and how they found out about it and how they spent that day, that night, the next bunch of days and nights. So we're going to do a little remembering of that right after the break here. And then after 1:30, Matthew C. Hoffman is going to join us. And we'll talk about this big screening of 2001 A Space Odyssey with Keir Dulé, the star of the movie, in person. And that's all coming up. But we'll take a break. And if you want to come back, when we come back, if you want to jump in here with you or where were you then and your thoughts on remembering what that was like, what those days were like, you know, that day and the days following on September 11th, 2001, you can join us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Okay, for talk or text. So join us. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive. Matthew Hoffman is going to join us after the 1:30 news to talk about the great screening of 2001 A Space Odyssey that's happening on September 18th with Keir Dulay live, the star of the movie. We'll give you all the details on that. That's coming up here on WGN. So today is September 11th, and 18 years ago, obviously the events of that day are etched in our minds, and we will never forget them, and we should never forget them, and we should always remember and take a look back at the day and remember where we were and how we felt and how we feel now and how we felt the days after. If you want to jump in with your stories on how you found out about it, or where you were and all that, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Tom, you were a kid. You were a little kid, right?
Yeah, I was about 7 years old.
Okay.
And I was actually living abroad. I was in Singapore at the time.
Mm.
So it happened for us. I remember being woken very, very early, because we were quite a bit ahead. It's so weird. I don't even know what time it would have been. But I'm pretty sure it was like the middle, like very early morning, it would have been late at night. That's it.
Yeah,
it was very late.
Late at night.
It was very, very late.
Because it was early in the morning in New York.
Yeah, early in the morning, New York. Very late at night in Singapore. And I'd gone to bed, and my mom woke me up in the middle of the night, and I was, you know, naturally very confused. And it was, what's going on? And she just said, something terrible's happened. And I didn't really get it, because everything seemed fine. But my mom was clearly very worried, and she took me out. And my mom and dad were sitting in the living room, and they had, I want to say it was probably the BBC on. And they were just sitting and watching it. And it was kind of strange, very surreal. My mom was trying to explain to me what was going on. I don't know if by that point they had figured out that this was more than just a plane crash. And it was all very hazy, but I certainly remember the couple years after that I was still abroad. Things became very different. We were escorted into our school by armed guards. With Singapore previously being a British colony, they had Nepalese Gurkhas, which are these specially trained soldiers that were kind of part of the British military that were there. And they literally stood outside our school all day, every day. Pretty much anywhere that was affiliated with expats or anything American, there were constant armed guards, and everybody was kind of just living in this really weird state of fear, because being abroad during that time was really not great, because this kind of sense of security, just by virtue of being American and being an expat, had disappeared pretty quickly. Now, Singapore was not a dangerous place. You know, it's very well known for its strict laws and everything like that, but nobody knew what could happen at any time. And all of a sudden, everywhere that we went that was anything affiliated with the United States or the West suddenly became a target. And there were times where, I would be in a building and they would notify everybody like, hey, we just stopped a guy with a bomb. Like someone just tried to enter an American embassy with a bomb, or someone tried to enter There was this kind of like, I don't know, country club is the right word, but like this club called the American Club that was, you know, catered to expats, that they were just like, yeah, we just took, you know, we just had to take down a guy outside of the club because he was trying to come in with a weapon and just cause havoc. So, it was a very strange thing. And, decidedly different from many of my peers who were waking up to go to school or were at school, mm-hmm. When it happened. So, yeah, just having that perspective and seeing it from an international point of view, well, it really changed the way that I saw it.
Put a time frame on it. The first plane hit, the North Tower at 8:46 Eastern time AM. So I slept through the whole thing. My girlfriend and I were living together at the time. My girlfriend Helena and I were living together, and it was a Tuesday morning. And Monday nights were we pretty much did the same thing every Monday night back in those days. Helena was the artistic director of a theater company called Barrel of Monkeys, which they take children's stories and act them out. And They have a show that's still running, and it runs every Monday night at the Neo Futurarium, and it's called That's Weird Grandma. So she went to that, which was right around the corner from where we lived, Neo Futurarium, because we were living in Andersonville at the time. And she was there, which she was every Monday. And then every Monday night, I had my idiot friends over to watch wrestling. And so that's what we did. And then we would all meet at Simon's afterwards. Like, wrestling would end, That's Weird Grandma would end. And all of the people who saw the show and were in the show and all of the goofballs were at my house watching wrestling. We would always meet up at Simon's and we would enjoy cocktails. And that's what we did. That's what we did that night on September 10th that night. So when we got home, went directly to bed, closed the bedroom door, and phone starts to ring. And I'm asleep. And phone starts to ring, and then it rings again, and it rings some more, and it rings some more. And this has gone on for a while now. So finally I get up, and I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? And at that time I had an actual answering machine. And I saw the lights flashing, and there were like 10, 12 messages on there. So I press it back, and it's like my parents, it's like my friends, and they're all calling and saying, are you watching what's happening right now? This is unbelievable. So I immediately turned the TV on. By this point, the towers had both fallen already. The Pentagon had been attacked. All of that stuff had happened. But it's not like I didn't see it, because they showed it 17,000 times that whole day. So Helena gets up. I wake her up. And we basically sat in our living room watching CNN for hours. And finally, we had to get out. We had to get out of the apartment. And we were like, let's go to Simon's. Let's get out of here. So we went to Simon's, and Simon's was packed because people wanted to be together. And obviously they had it on all the TVs at Simon's, and we just kind of sat and talked. And I had and still have friends who live in New York, and a few who lived in Lower Manhattan. I didn't know what was going on. Like, nobody could get a hold of anybody. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. And I missed all of that stuff. Here's one of the things that I remember about it, because they grounded all the planes. And I remember it was a beautiful day here. It was also a beautiful day in New York, like not a cloud in the sky, beautiful sunny day. And I remember the weirdest thing about it was during the course of the day, not hearing any planes at all, which was just really unsettling and really, really weird. So no one knew, you know, what to do. Nobody knew if we could, you know, if we could be funny anymore. I did a show 3 days after the attacks. I did my first radio show 3 days after the attacks. I had no idea what I was going to do. I do a pop culture show. Does that matter anymore? Everybody's thinking, who cares?
Yeah, what matters now?
Exactly.
What matters?
And it's for the days and the weeks that followed, it was just, it was just uncertainty and uneasiness. And obviously nothing like that had ever been. We've never experienced anything like that. It's a sad anniversary. It's an anniversary that we have to remember. And if throughout the course of the show, if you guys want to send in some texts remembering where you were or how you found out about 9/11 or the days following it, or your experience dealing with what happened to us and to the world on that day. You can text them in, and we'll read them from time to time throughout the show, because it is September 11th, and we'll do some memories of it throughout the show. But we're going to try to keep it light as well and have some fun. But I do want to suggest that if you've never seen the movie The 25th Hour, which is, I think, Spike Lee's best movie, with Edward Norton and Barry Pepper and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Anna Paquin, it came out in November of 2002. So it came out just about a year after the attacks. And the scars were still very, very deep in New York when the film was released. They shot it just months after the attacks. They shot it, like, seriously, just like a couple of months after the attacks, they shot the film. But it is, for my money, not only is it just a great film in general, but for my money, it's one of the best meditations of what that specifically did to New York City. The scars that it left behind in New York City. It's an extraordinary movie. And I personally, I think the best movie ever made about post 9/11 New York. And if you want to see just a great film and you want to just do some, you know, remembrance this morning, or, you know, today at some point, I highly recommend Spike Lee's 25th Hour. Like I said, just in general, a great, great, great movie. And a pretty intense and interesting way to remember this anniversary. Okay, so let's take a break here. We got the news coming up. Then after the news, Matthew C. Hoffman's going to join me to talk about his screening of 2001. And that'll be happening right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Is it wrong that I think of Ric Flair every time I hear this? Woo! That's the first thing that pops into my head. Oh, man. How you doing, everybody? We're back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it is Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about the best side one, track one songs, best leadoff songs on albums. We'll get into that. We're going to talk about some signature films from the world's major cities. And because Wendy is expanding their breakfast menu to nationwide, we're going to talk about some of the best fast food breakfast items of all time. So that's all coming up. Right here on 720 WGN. You can call us at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show, and on Facebook, follow us there. Everything is interactive, and it's constantly being updated. So it's the best way to stay connected, and that's Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Like us now, Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And all of that is coming up right here on the show. And again, Wild Card Wednesday, any artist, any song, anything, get them in now at 312-981-7200. Now, of course, you hear that, most people think immediately of 2001, which, of course, you know, that's the second thing that pops into my head after Ric Flair. But 2001: A Space Odyssey is obviously an amazing movie, a classic movie, a landmark film, and you're gonna have the opportunity to see it on the big screen, and this is a really, really amazing opportunity. If you've never seen 2001 on the big screen, you should. 2001: A Space Odyssey will be shown on September 18th, Wednesday, September 18th, at 1 o'clock and 7:30 p.m. at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, Theater 1, the Mega Theater. So you get to see it in the beautiful big Mega Theater. And this is a big deal. But to make it an even bigger deal, Keir Dulay is going to be there in person. Keir Dulay played Dave Bowman in the movie, and he is going to be there live and at the 7:30 screening. But this is the big deal. And this, of course, is put together by our friend Matthew C. Hoffman, who runs the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, and has done some really, really great stuff, and cares about movies, and cares about the experience of seeing movies, and cares about classic movies. And so we have him on pretty regularly to talk about what's happening at the Pickwick. And this event is huge, and we wanted to bring Matthew on to talk about it. Matthew, how you been?
All right, Nick. I hope you had a great summer.
Yeah, I hope you had a good summer, too.
Yeah, great to be back to talk about probably our biggest show we've ever done.
Yeah.
So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, there's no
question.
This
is really exciting.
It's got to be. You got to be through the roof on this one. This is just amazing. So first of all, because it's been a while since you've been on, we want to remind everybody, you know, like who you are, where you got started, and how you became the guy who programs the part of the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series.
Sure. I'm a film historian, the program host over at the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. I used to run the LaSalle Bank Theater Revival House back around year 2000. I did that for about 4 years. And in recent years, I started the Park Ridge Public Library Classic Film Series. Actually, we celebrated our 10th anniversary just recently. And the library series that I do in the spring was so successful that the Pickwick owner, the Pickwick Theater, which is right across the street from the library, asked me to do a film series for him in 2013. So the theater series runs is a monthly series. It runs once a month from September to May, but actually last season we extended it into June. Mm-hmm. We ended our season actually with American Graffiti because I thought it was a great summer film. So we've been extended a little bit. And, you know, last season we showed films like The Quiet Man, which actually became our biggest grossing film of all time. We had over 1,000 people. So
wow.
That was a wonderful turnout.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
That was the first, Nick. we did a 50th anniversary of Honor Majesty's Secret Service, which was a lot of fun. So everything that we do at the Pickwick, we always try and add a little something to it, whether it's organ music or, you know, a giveaway. Or in the case of 2001, we've got the main star from the film as a special guest.
Yeah.
And actually, 2001, Nick, was a show that was 2 years in the making. I wanted to show it for its 50th anniversary a couple of years ago.
Right.
But because director Christopher Nolan was doing a national re-release of the film,
right,
we couldn't get the rights to show it. We had to take a back seat. So when the film became available, I reached out once again to Kier Doulé, and he said he would love to come. The thing about Kier Doulé is he's just an absolutely wonderful, engaging guest. He loves talking about 2001. Every time he makes an appearance at a different venue, audiences really love him.
Yeah.
So I knew that this was the star I wanted to sort of be our very first star that we ever had
at the theater. That's
so.
Really fantastic. That's great. No, you mentioned you started doing this in 2013, and in that time, over the past year or so, the Pickwick has gone through some major changes. How long has the Pickwick been around?
Well, the Pickwick goes back to 1928.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, over the years, there's been renovations, you know, such as new seating and stuff. But actually, last year we had one of our biggest renovations. We actually had a new screen put in, and I believe it's the largest theater screen in the Chicago area. It's known now as the Mega Theater.
Yeah.
And they also upgraded the sound system. So now it's, you know, they wanted to keep up with, you know, sort of the IMAX experience,
yeah,
you know, try and bring in younger audiences and stuff. So it was a big investment, but it seems to have paid off because, you know, we get great crowds. And, you know, Nick, if there was ever a movie to sort of justify the existence of a mega theater,
oh yeah,
it's 2001. I sort of came up with a list of all the films that I would love to see in this new giant screen, and 2001 was a film right at the top of the list, and I was saving it in the hopes of getting Kier Doulé.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on all of that, man. It's really great. I've been dark for about a month and a half at my film club because mm-hmm. they're remodeling the theater that we use.
I
mean, the whole second floor of the AMC Rosemont 18 is being completely remodeled. They're putting, I think they're putting a new screen in the theater that I use. And mm-hmm. I know for a fact that they're putting in the reclinable leather, you know, chairs that are so so popular now. And so we'll probably be back in October. I think in October is when we'll be back. So we had a month and a half off, or 2 months off. But we're going to come back.
Get those renovations done quickly because we miss your film series.
Oh well, thanks, man. I don't know what I haven't chosen anything yet. I got to sit down and if it's October, it's going to be horror. I know that much. If we come back in October, it's going to be horror.
Right.
Yeah. So the mega theater. Well, I mean, what's the experience like? I've still yet to see a movie there. I mean, it's got to be pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. Obviously, you don't want to be sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
But I forget the dimensions. I think it's something like 54 feet across and almost 30 feet tall.
Jeez.
We no longer have the stage because the screen is so big.
Yeah.
It covers up where the old stage used to be. But we still have the organ. And last season, we had Jay Warren do all the pre-show music before
sure.
our film. So.
Yeah.
Just the upgrade and the sound system too. It's really remarkable. So
yeah.
If people haven't been to the Pickwick in years, they should definitely check out the new mega theater.
Well, Pickwick has always been one of my favorite theaters. It's in Park Ridge, and it's really fantastic. It's a fantastic theater, and it has been.
Yeah.
I've seen so many movies at the Pickwick. I haven't been there in a while, but I've seen a ton of movies there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, it's just the owners, the management, they do so much for the community and they put a lot of money into the theater. And that's why it's really a wonderful experience to not only to see the films there, but to support the theater. You know, serve the jewel of the community.
Oh, it's a beautiful theater. And also a little piece of trivia, which I'm sure you're aware of, Matthew, the Pickwick marquee was used at the beginning
yes.
of At the Movies
mm-hmm.
with Siskel and Ebert. That was the theater that they used. So it's also a part of Siskel and Ebert's history as well.
Sure. Yeah, no, that trivia comes up quite often. You
yeah.
know, fans remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, listen, Matthew, hang on a second, okay?
Sure.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about the event, and we'll touch on the Park Ridge Public Library classic film series. Doesn't come back until just around the spring, but we want to talk a little bit about what happened in the past and some of the other things, and we'll talk about 2001. We got to get into some of the history of it, the movie itself, and some of the stuff that Cure du Lait has done. And by the way, the tickets, you can get advanced tickets, are only $10. And you can go to the ParkRidgeClassicFilm.com, ParkRidgeClassicFilm.com, for more information about it. There are two showings. There's a 1 p.m. matinee. And again, Cure du Lait will not be at the 1 p.m. matinee, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, just the 7:30 screening.
And he'll be there at 7 o'clock. And be,
7 o'clock.
He'll be interviewed by Stanley Kubrick scholar Raymond Benson.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be really amazing. And then the movie will start at 7:30. There's a 10-minute intermission for both screenings. And it's 2001. A Space Odyssey in the mega theater. This is the way to see this movie. And so we'll give you more details on all of that stuff and more. Matthew, hang on, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Matthew Hoffman is with us. He programs the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series and a big one coming up on September 18th, 1 p.m. and 7:30. And the 7:30 screening, Cure du Lait, is going to be there. And it's 2001 A Space Odyssey. Rare chance to see it in such great circumstances. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back after this. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on this Wednesday morning. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. That's any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in now. We'll play them in a bit. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Hey, you ever put on an album and the first song just rules, and it's a great way to kick off the album? Well, we're going to talk about a bunch of those. Great side one, track one, lead-off tracks on albums of all time. And we got some signature films from the world's major cities to talk about. There's news that Wendy's expanding its breakfast menu nationwide, so we're going to talk about some of the best fast food breakfast items ever. And that's all coming up a little bit later on the show right here. But right now, we're talking with Matthew Hoffman, who is with the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. It's parkridgeclassicfilm.com. And the Season 7 opening night is September 18th. And it is so Wednesday, September 18th at 1 p.m. and at 7:30 p.m. on the big mega theater on the big screen, 2001 A Space Odyssey, the classic Stanley Kubrick film. And Keir Dulé, the star of the movie, will be there in person. $12 at the door, $10 in advance. Yeah, this is going to be great. And let's get Matthew back. Matthew, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
All right. Let's talk about the film. This is one of those movies that has been seen by so many people and so many times, and there's always, you know, discussions about what it means, you know, and what it's about, because it's a beautifully kind of ambiguous movie that leaves it up to the viewer to kind of find out what they think it really truly is about. But it's an incredible film, and obviously Stanley Kubrick was a master. What do you think of the movie? Where do you stand on 2001?
Well, it's one of the landmark science fiction films of all time by a true visionary in Stanley Kubrick. You know, so many people have come up to me, like, for example, at work, where I work at the Park Ridge Library. They ask me, well, what's the film about? And, you know, it's hard to summarize the film in just a short statement, but I mean, it's really nothing less than the origins and destiny of man. I mean, it's in a way, in the grand scheme of things, sort of a film about the rebirth of humanity, you know. And there's such a mystery to the film. It has this epic grandeur, you know. And as you pointed out, Nick, I mean, it is open to interpretation. I mean, people who are atheists, for example, have a profound impact on them. And then there are people who are very religious who come away with a religious experience seeing the film. So, I mean, it's a film that's open to interpretation, and I think that's part of its success. Obviously, it succeeded at the time for other reasons besides its themes. I mean, it came out at the height of the space race, and of course, we just recently celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing.
Right.
But back in the 60s, I mean, 2001 showed us where we could go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, obviously, we haven't quite reached the visions in the film, but I mean, it speaks to that the future and what we can, you know, attain. And I think visually, it's also a very emotional experience. It's a film about the images and the sound, and there is this sort of cryptic narration throughout. But, I mean, it's more about the visuals than any kind of narrative progression.
Yeah. It's split into a couple of segments, I have to say my favorite's the first segment. I like the Dawn of Man segment.
Moonwatcher.
I just think it's amazing. And of course, it's got one of the greatest jump cuts in history with the bone being thrown up in
the
air.
Bone. And the makeup is just remarkable. I believe Stuart Freeborn did the makeup for that film.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
Yeah, really great. And it was you know, these are landmark special effects. We kind of, you know, and now that we see, you know, because every other movie takes place in space now, as you know, Matthew.
Yeah, sure.
You know, these sci-fi movies or, you know, superhero movies, they all have these space sequences. The special effects in this movie were so unbelievable that people had never really seen anything quite like it, and it influenced everything. I mean, there'd be no Star Wars without 2001 in terms of the kind of special effects that were used.
Exactly, and what's a good reminder for younger audiences is that there were no digital effects.
Right.
I mean, these were all models. One of the effects, special effects guys who was working on, I think, Douglas Trumbull.
Yeah.
The model work on this film, you know, there were illustrators working on the film who had connections to NASA. So there was a scientific authenticity to this film.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just, you know, completely imagined. I mean, it was rooted in fact.
It's you know what
that's what stands out.
And now over the past couple of years, Matthew, with Alexa and all these other sort of things, Hal has a whole different Hal. You know, the term AI, you know, didn't mean a whole lot. It wasn't really as weird as it is now. But I mean, now watching this movie and watching all the Hal stuff. It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's like it's creepy because it's happening in our house.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. I mean, there were aspects of this film that certainly have come to fruition. You know, HAL 9000, but you know, the sort of like the tablets, like the iPads. You know, they're sort of like forerunners. I mean, there might be aspects of the film that some people might consider dated, like the clothing, but you know, it has that sort of 60s feel. But
yeah,
I mean, there are other elements to this film that, you know, certainly relate to, you know, technology today. That's another fascinating aspect.
Yeah, it really is. I'll tell you something, though. The thing about the movie is that people watch it and it's really quite an experience. But it's I really think it's the last 15 minutes where people go, what? That's the part that I think really, because the first time I saw it in the last 15 minutes, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I didn't like it. I was just like, what? I mean, it was a lot to take in. Go ahead.
And what's amazing about that sequence is also Keira Dulé's acting in that film. You know, I felt the same way when I first saw it. Actually, 2001 is a film that I sort of appreciated more the more times I saw it.
Oh, absolutely. And, absolutely. No question about it. Multiple viewings for this one. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the endings started to make more sense. You know, I don't want to explain everything, you know, over the radio, but, you know, you want viewers to go in and sort of form their own interpretation.
Yeah.
There is that mystery at the end.
Yeah.
And to those more familiar with the film, I mean, it starts to make sense. But, yeah, I mean, it is definitely a film that you have to see multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it makes sense to me. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's the same kind of sense-making it makes to other people. But I think I know what the film is about, and I find it very satisfying. And I think the final shot is breathtaking. The final shot of the movie is breathtaking and beautiful and sometimes makes me tear up. It's just such a beautiful shot. It's such a beautiful moment. Now, you know, Matthew, real quick thing is I love every time I talk about 2001, I love to talk about this. Now, obviously, you were talking about how it came out during the height of the, you know, the space race and everything.
Space race, yeah.
But it also came out at the height of drug use. And there were multiple stories about how hippies or, you know, people who had alternative lifestyles in the late 60s would go to the movie, and while watching the movie, they would drop acid so that it would kick in during that last 15 minutes.
Right, and then
they would go down to the front of the auditorium, and they would lay on their backs. They would lay on their backs in front of the screen and watch the last 15 minutes while they were tripping.
Sure.
This was a thing. This was a thing that happened pretty regularly during the regular release of the film.
Yeah, and the filmmakers, or the studio, I should say, took advantage of that. And then in their advertising, they referred to it as the ultimate trip.
Exactly.
You saw it plastered on the posters.
Right.
But, you know, certainly the counterculture generation, the hippies, they certainly gravitated towards the film.
Yeah.
But that's not the sole reason for the film's success.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
It was a hit, you know, with the mainstream as well.
Yeah.
But, it certainly has that stigma of, you know, the whole LSD inspired sequence.
But it's such a great movie. It really is. And to see it in this mega theater on the big screen, this is a great opportunity. And if you don't want to stay up late, it's a long film. If you don't want to stay up late, there's a 1 p.m. matinee that you can go to, and that's $8 to get in. But if you want to go at night, it's $10 in advance, $12 at the door. 7:30 p.m. the movie starts, but get there early enough because at 7 o'clock the star Keira Dulé is going to be in person, and he will be interviewed by Stanley Kubrick scholar Raymond Benson. Matthew, best of luck with this. It's great. Hey, listen, when you talk to Keira Dulé,
do you want me to ask him about Black Christmas?
I do want you to ask him about Black Christmas. Yes.
one of the first slasher movies.
Yeah, a classic.
I think 74, I think.
Yeah, no, a classic. A groundbreaking movie, and I love him in it. So keep us posted on what's happening in March when you bring back the Park Ridge Public Library Classic Film Series, okay, Matthew?
I definitely will, Nick. Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you again, and best of luck with your opening night.
Thank you. You take care.
Oh, man, take care. Matthew Hoffman runs the Parkwick. The Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. Check out parkridgeclassicfilm.com. It's Wednesday, September 18th. Your chance to see this thing on the big screen, on a giant mega theater screen. This is pretty special. And Keir Dulé is going to be there. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with the news on 720 WGN. So, Wildcard Wednesday begins with "They're Coming to Take Me Away" in reverse. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from Mike in Frankfurt.
Okay, Mike.
I guess I did not know that's the B side to the single.
Yes, that's the B side. Is the song in reverse? Yes. Well, that's Wildcard Wednesday, man. What do you expect? Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man. You can request anything anything you want. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6. And, yeah. And we were about to talk about the best debut album leadoff track. So it's your first album. It's the first song on the first side. So this is how many artists establish themselves as great things to watch. So, and we are also going to expand on this because this is just best debut album. So it's the first song on the first side of the first full length record of an artist. First time you ever heard this artist's song on an album, first side, first song, first album. But we are going to expand it to just great opening songs in general, not just the debut albums, first albums. But we're also going to talk about just first songs that are great. And throughout the morning, we are going to be reflecting on September 11th. Today is September 11th, 18 years ago today. The attacks of September 11th happened, and everybody knows where they were and how they felt about it. And we've got some texts coming in. And if you want to join us with your thoughts on this and your remembrance of where you were and how you dealt with it and how you felt, 312-981-7200. Text them in, and we'll read them throughout the morning. Throughout the morning, we're going to reflect a little bit on September 11th, and we want to do that through your texts and your memories on the events of that day 18 years ago. So 312-981-7200, that's where you text them. 301 area code says, I was at work, and I heard the news on a local radio station here in Maryland. Shortly after that, we were sent home. I work for the federal government. My cousin Tommy was in the second tower, but he got out when he heard the first tower got hit. He had been in the building when the bomb had gone off the previous time, so he feared right away that there was another terrorist attack. It was several hours, though, before we knew he was okay. I, too, had a friend in the second tower. It was her second day on the job. She had just moved to New York. I had directed a play called Lake Boat by David Mamet, and she was my stage manager on that show, and she got a gig in New York. She got a job in New York, and she always wanted to live in New York and do theater in New York, so she moved, and this was her second day on the job. And when the first plane hit the tower, she was in the South Tower. When the first plane hit the North Tower, she said that the building didn't just rumble or shake, that it swayed back and forth, like swayed, and it was loud. The explosion was loud. It was scary as hell. And but the recording over the PA system in the building was telling people to stay in their offices and not leave, but her boss said, screw that, we're leaving. And so they began to leave, and they walked down the steps. And it took a while to get out of there, obviously. And she got out. And she said she turned around and she looked up behind her, and it looked like it was just, there was paper everywhere, glass everywhere, and flames shooting out of the side of the tower. She lived in Brooklyn at the time. She walked to Brooklyn. But we didn't know, you know, I mean, like I said, I knew a lot of people in New York at the time. I had a lot of friends in New York at the time and some, you know, in lower Manhattan.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine witnessing.
Not able to, you know, but the other thing is like, if you're not able to get a hold of these people.
Right.
Like, you know, we were trying to call people. You couldn't, all the circuits were down and everything. You couldn't get a hold of anybody. So if you had friends in New York or in Manhattan proper, you know.
Well, and it gives you a sort of perspective on how much we're able to connect with each other now.
Yeah.
You know, this was 2001. Most people were still using traditional, like, you know, payphones or landlines or whatever.
Yeah.
And now you have the ability to mark yourself safe on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine the terror of wondering what happened to your friends and family.
847 area code says, on 9/11, I was teaching 7th grade at about 10 a.m. It had gotten around to the teachers what had happened. Administration decided not to tell the students until the end of the day and then to head directly home. The next day, most of the class time was spent on students sharing thoughts and feelings. The kids were deeply affected, many not sure what it meant and were scared about the future. I can understand that. Totally understand that. I mean, I was an adult when it happened, you know. I was in my 30s when it happened, you know. I was 36 when it happened, so. But I can't imagine from the point of view of a kid. That's why it's fascinating to hear from you, even though you were not, you know,
wasn't even in the country. Yeah.
847 area code says, I too slept through the events of 9/11. I woke up and Don and Roma were on the WLS airwaves past their scheduled time. I thought that was weird. It didn't take me long to figure out why. I was horrified but not surprised. The terrorists wanted to finish what they started in 1993. So we'll be reflecting on this throughout the morning. And if you want to text us your remembrances of 9/11, where you were, how you found out about it, how you felt, 312-981-7200. Never forget, always remember, 18 years ago today. 312-981-7200. Okay, so Salon.com put this list together, and it says the rules for the list are simple. These are all first songs on the first side of an artist's first full-length record. These albums must also have kicked off the most well-known, successful period of an artist's career. In other words, any discarded side projects or one-offs don't count. Although songs may be previously released singles or brand-new recordings, all heralded the arrival of greatness and became signature songs. So these are artists making a name for themselves. These are artists like saying, hey, this is who we are. And enjoy this. Here's the first song you're ever going to hear from us on the first side of our very first album. Kicking it off is Van Halen's Running with the Devil, which is a jam. When a video for David Lee Roth's isolated vocals for Running with the Devil went viral a few years ago, it underscored not only his unintentionally hilarious delivery and the screams, but his incredible vibrato rich voice. Have you heard that?
Those yeah, recordings? Where he's just like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of a kind voice, though.
Yeah. Then again, DLR himself oozed charisma. I think the exuberance of a Broadway star crossed with the unselfconsciousness of a class prankster that meshed well with the band's loose, bluesy rock and roll. That came across especially well on Running with the Devil, a supremely confident tune that feels like a panther stalking its prey. Eddie Van Halen's guitar riffs are both fluid and aggressive, especially on his brief solo during the bridge. And bassist Michael Anthony's roasted bass and indelible backing vocals adds wrinkles of worry. And when DLR sings with a swing in his voice, I found the simple life ain't so simple. When I jumped out on that road, the song pivots and becomes something more, even more interesting. Do we have a little of Running with the Devil? Well, Tom's on the phone right now. So I want to hear a little of some of these if we can get them. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about the best debut album leadoff tracks of all time. The first songs you ever heard by these artists, first side, first album. 312-981-7200. Is the phone number. All right, let's move on to the next one, which is Can you pull up Radio Free Europe? REM's Radio Free Europe from Murmur, which is the only REM song I like. So the first song, first side, first album is the only one that I like by REM. And you can't understand a word Michael Stipe is saying. That's probably why I like it. This is from Murmur in 1983, Radio Free Europe. There are several different mixes of Radio Free Europe floating around, including the steamrolling version found on REM's 1981 debut 7-inch. However, the slower, twangier take that kicks off the band's debut full-length record, Murmur, adds enigmatic layers. The song starts off with an eerie sound effect that resembles ping-pong balls ascending into space before four beats of smacking drums signal the arrival of loping guitar riffs and Michael Stipe's keening vocals. From there, the song gains buoyancy, and with each airing of the chorus, which creates notable intensity. Still, the Murmur version of Radio Free Europe also illuminates the album's subtle sonic gifts. For example, the song has a funky bridge with crisp triangle, as well as a snappy piano mirrored with bustling bass. Radio Free Europe peaked at number 78 on the Billboard charts, but established REM as a force which to be reckoned. It's a great song. I love that song.
I still can't understand what Michael Stipe is saying.
No, I can't understand a word of it. I don't care. But the song is really cool. And I was, you know, for a guy my age, with friends my age, to have not liked REM, I was not a popular dude at that time. Not a popular dude, because that album came out in 1983. That's the year I started college. And that was a college band. Like, people who went to college at that time period were obsessed with REM.
Oh, it was college rock 101.
Absolutely. And as it went on and they gained all the, you know, like the notoriety and the popularity that they had, like in 91 with Losing My Religion and you know, going on and on. I always wanted to smack Michael Stipe. He always made me nuts. He made me nuts. So... All right, but that's a hell of a song, I got to say. I don't know, don't know lyrics, I don't care, but it's a very, very cool song. So, all right, why don't you jump in here? We are talking about the first song on the first side of the first album that anybody ever recorded, and then we're just going to talk about great leadoff songs in albums in general. And if you want to join us, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text.
I got me 10 fine toes to wiggle in the sand. Lots of idle fingers snap to my command. A lovely pair of heels that kick to beat the band. Contemplate, nature can be fascinating. And do these knows that I can find. And
all right. Welcome back, everybody. It is, as you can tell, Wild Card Wednesday. And if you want to get your requests in, it's 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. Yeah! And Tom, who requested that?
That's coming to us from Paul in Maryland. It's Pass Me By from the movie Father Goose.
Father Goose. Okay. All right, 312-981-7200. We're talking about the best debut album leadoff tracks of all time. So basically, first song, first side, first album, announcing the arrival of an important musical artist. And then we're also, if you want to jump in with just your favorite first songs on any album, like to kick off an album on a real, real high note, we're talking about that as well. And throughout the morning, we're going to be remembering September 11th. It's the 18th anniversary of the attacks. And we're getting texts in if you want to share your thoughts on where you were and what you remember about it and how you feel. 312-981-7200. You can send those texts too. Robert sends in a text that said, I worked nights. My wife woke me up. I sat down rubbing the sleep out of my eyes as the second plane hit. I delivered fuel to construction sites overnight, remembering being terrified of possible truck hijackings. Plus, it was also eerie with no planes in the night sky. That, like I said earlier, that was one of the that was really one of the eeriest things, was not hearing any, for hours, not hearing anything in the as far as air traffic goes, which is just unusual. Completely. 847 says, on the morning of 9/11, I was home with my children. The oldest had just started a school day. My youngest was just 1 year old. My husband worked for what was then Cellular One. His day was filled with loved ones panicking, trying to get through to their loved ones in New York. It left a mark on him for sure, and it's hard to believe it was 18 years. 18 years, yes. Okay. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we are talking about best first tracks from first albums on the first side, all that stuff. And also first tracks in general. 773 area code says, best first track is Breathe on Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Not their first album, obviously.
Right.
But a great first song. 708 area code, Spice Girls debut, Spice. First song was Wannabe, which is a huge hit. Wannabe is the first song on the... I don't have the Spice Girls album. So I didn't know Wannabe was the first song. Tim says, Nick, I know you're not a fan, but even though the record is now 32 years old, Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle on Appetite for Destruction remains a powerful open for that band, and it's often used at sporting events today. Yes, it is often used at sporting events.
And Wannabe is the first track on that album.
All right. Yeah, Appetite for Destruction, making a, you know, making a big statement about those guys. Like I said, I'm not a fan of Guns N' Roses, but there's no denying the kind of impact that that song made and the kind of impact that they made and what Appetite for Destruction did for the band and for rock at the time.
Not a fan, except for that one horrible song.
Two songs. Civil War and I always forget the name of the other one. Civil War and...
I just know it has some of the most horrendous
lyrics. It does. It has incredibly horrendous lyrics. And I can't remember. One in a million, that's what it is. So it's Civil War and One in a Million are the only two songs I like by them. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I remember being over Rose Records when I was 15 years old, and I heard Good Times Roll. And you remember how they used to display the album covers?
Sure.
Now playing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I bought the Cars debut right away, and it was history after that.
That's one of the best. That's the Cars debut album is one of the best debut albums of all time. It's just
If you go to the next to Candy O, Let's Go, Let That Off.
Yeah, no, Candy O is a good album, but that debut album, I vividly remember when the Cars first album came out. And people went and justifiably and rightfully so went nuts when that record came out. Just a great, one of the best, you know, we've talked about debut albums in the past, obviously. The Cars first album is one of the best debut albums ever.
Yeah. I agree completely.
Yeah. All right, Steve, take care.
Yeah.
All right. We mentioned Running with the Devil. Van Halen one, also one of the greatest debut albums of all time. One of the greatest debut albums of all time. And when that record came out, and I've said this a million times, nothing sounded like it. The way Eddie Van Halen played that guitar, nobody played a guitar like that. And I remember my friends and I, because, you know, like classic rock, hard rock guys, when that album came out, that was one of those deals where it was a game changer. Like, I remember listening to the first Van Halen record going, what in God's name is happening right now? And just the vocals of Diamond Dave, everything about it. And the beautiful, you know, vocals that are on the album, too. Because the harmonies are great. The harmonies are really, really great and have no business being mixed in with that insanity.
Exactly. Well, they're consummate professionals of pop sensibility, and that's what makes them so great.
Yeah.
Is that they know how to write a tune and also, you know, shred.
Yeah. That first Van Halen album, man. Fantastic. All right. We got a break here. The news is coming up after this, and we are also talking about the 20 best debut album lead-off tracks. First song, first side, first album. Making a statement. 312-981-7200. News is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday, man. Yeah, wild card Wednesday. Yeah. That's any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Who requested that, Tom?
It's coming to us from Mike in Old Irving Park.
Mike in Old Irving Park.
Yeah, a little Devo there.
Oh, yes. All right. Okay, welcome back, everybody. So we are talking about the best first songs on the first side of the first album, making a statement, are these new artists with their first songs and their first albums on the first side. And we're also, just in general, talking about great first songs on albums. It doesn't necessarily have to be a debut album, but way to kick off an album. 312-981-7200. It is September 11th, and we are also sharing some memories about this day 18 years ago, and I would love to hear from you guys on some texts. If you want to send your text in about where you were and what you remember about 9/11, we're going to share that in a day of remembrance, which we should do every year on this day. Let's see. Here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark.
Greetings from Cleveland.
Yeah.
How you doing, Nick?
All right.
Yeah, good. Okay, my suggestion is Elvis Costello's Welcome to the Working Week, the first song off his first album, My Name is True.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1977, I can understand people seeing this album and thinking, who is this geeky-looking guy who dares to call himself Elvis? And then you listen to the song, and within 2 minutes, you know that this guy is just not a novelty act. He is a major talent who deserves to be taken seriously. And some Costello's other albums, Metal Action, Accidents Will Happen, and Beyond Belief are also total classics.
Yeah, no, he's done several classics, Mark. I mean, you know, he...
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that those are all the kickoff tracks of those albums.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, he's just absolutely done several, amazing records. I just remember in 1 year, he released Blood and Chocolate and King of America in 1 year. And I mean, how do you do that? I don't know. So, but yeah, great choice, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great show.
Take care. Hey, Tom, the ugly Kit Kat pumpkin is back.
The ugly Kit Kat pumpkin.
Have you not seen the commercial where the girl messes up she carves the pumpkin, he's all ugly, his mouth is all crooked. It's a Kit Kat commercial. Debuted last year. You've not seen the commercial with the ugly pumpkin?
I haven't had cable in like 3 years, man.
I'm so glad they brought it back.
Oh, wow.
I love that commercial.
Is it better than the Chance the Rapper one?
What Chance the Rapper one? The Kit Kat Chance the Rapper one?
Yeah, that's the last Kit Kat commercial I can think of. That was a long time ago.
No.
This is next level.
Oh, no. It debuted last year around Halloween. And they're starting to show it now because it's mid-September, and they're starting to show it. What it is there's a girl, and she's carving her pumpkin on Halloween, and she does a horrible job. Like, his eyes are all lopsided, his mouth is sideways and screwed up, and he comes to life and starts talking, and then gives her a Kit Kat and says, she apologizes for what he looks like, and he gives her a Kit Kat. Take a break. Everybody deserves one. I love the pumpkin.
All right, I love the pumpkin.
Whoever the guy is who does the voice, and the way the pumpkin looks is adorably ugly, and it's I love that commercial. I'm glad they're bringing it back. I'm glad it's going to be a yearly thing now. All right, here is Roosevelt on WGN. Hi, Roosevelt.
Nick.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call. How
sure.
you doing?
Good. What's up?
I was telling Tom that all the albums of Led Zeppelin from 1969, which was their debut album, to the Presence album, Achilles' Last Stand on the first side.
Oh, man.
Every single song on every album of Led Zeppelin from, like I said, 69 to 76, fantastic. Yeah,
well, so it would be, for the first album was Good Times, Bad Times.
Yeah.
Second album was Whole Lot of Love. Third album was, what was
Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song.
Immigrant Song.
Zeppelin 4 was Rock and Roll.
Bingo.
Oh, I thought it was Black Dog.
No, no. Rock and Roll is the first song on 4. And then Houses of the Holy is,
I don't remember that one.
I don't remember the first song off of Houses of the Holy.
Now, what about Physical Graffiti?
Physical Graffiti is, what's the first song on Physical?
Custard Pie.
Custard Pie, great song. Yeah.
Yep.
And Presence is Achilles' Last Stand, which is one of their biggest jams ever.
Yeah, that's a big jam. But I wanted to pinpoint the specific albums, and that is Monster by Steppenwolf. I don't know if you ever heard that song.
Oh, no. That's one of my favorite Steppenwolf albums.
Yeah, and you can apply the lyrics to what's going on right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That was their most overtly political record, was Monster. Yeah.
He wasn't from the United States. I believe he was from Germany originally. John McKay has original name, and then he changed it to John Kay.
Yeah. I just remember the album cover. They're like shirtless in a cave.
Yep.
That's what I remember about that album.
And a close second, well, not really second. You could put it on first also. Who's Next? Baba O'Reilly.
Baba O'Reilly. Yeah, classic. What now? Did you find out Houses of the Holy? What's the first album on Houses?
So first song is Song Remains the Same.
Oh, of course it is.
And Black Dog is the first track off of Led Zeppelin 4.
Black Dog is the first track?
Yep.
Oh, I thought it was Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Roosevelt.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. And here's Brian on WGN. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Two albums that were like seminal albums of the 70s, at least in my opinion. Warren Zevon's Excitable Boy and the opening song, not really one of the singles that was ever released, but it's called When Johnny Strikes Up the Band.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
And the other album was Natty Dread, Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Oh, sure.
And the opening song was Lively Up Yourself, which is like an anthem.
Right.
On behalf of reggae.
Right.
One other thing. I'm driving from Indiana to Richfield, so I couldn't text you about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But on 9/11, I was teaching high school Spanish at Steinmetz High School.
Oh, okay.
In Chicago. And the thing about Steinmetz High School is it's like 1930s Chicago school architecture, and it's up on one of the highest points of the Northwest Side.
Right.
And it's like a castle up on the hill. And I was right up at the top of it. And that afternoon of 9/11 was so eerie, was so surreal. And kids were shaking. They were so scared. And you had a clear view of the Sears Tower, and you know, as a Northwest Side or near suburbs guy, that usually you're on the flight path to O'Hare.
Oh,
there's always a plane in the sky,
and
it was empty and quiet. And then every so often there would be a fighter jet that would come through and patrol.
Yeah.
Strangest day.
It was insane. It was very insane. Absolutely. Okay, Brian. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
Take care. A couple more 9/11 memories as we share this morning. It's the 18th anniversary of the attacks, and it's a day of remembrance. And so, if you want to text in your thoughts on how you felt, where you were, and all that stuff, 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, I was in high school at the time. I was getting ready to go to school in the morning when I heard the news broadcasts, and I didn't understand it first. By the time I was in my second period pottery class, word had broken that the catastrophe had happened, and everybody understood that things weren't going to be the same ever again. I attended Broomfield High School, at the time located in Colorado, and the other memory I have of those days is that I was going through a lot of family issues and trying to assert independence. So not only did that happen, but there was the complicated world of being a teenager had to be added to it. 630 area code says, when the first plane hit and news started to come out, my daughter was at high school and my son just went to the bus stop waiting with neighbors. I was a lunchroom supervisor and I went into work. Staff were talking about what was happening. Just before the first group was released for lunch, they announced the open house, which was scheduled for that night, that was canceled and would be rescheduled. The lunchroom supervisors decided if any students asked why the open house was canceled, we'd just say that they should talk to their parents. So... All right. More of those are going to be coming in, texts throughout the morning as we remember 9/11 on the 18th anniversary of the attacks. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we're also talking about best debut album leadoff tracks and best first tracks on albums. 312 area code knocks it out of the park right here. Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath from the album Black Sabbath. That's about as great a leadoff song that you can have. Like, what is this Black Sabbath? Who is this? And then you play that song and you go, oh, so something's going on here. 708 area code, Chicago's first album. The first song was a good example of what was to come. It was back when they were called the Chicago Transit Authority.
Yeah. Apparently Jimi Hendrix said that that was one of his favorite albums he had ever heard.
The Chicago Transit Authority?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It's an awesome record.
Yeah, it's great. That was way before Peter Cetera ruined everything.
Not a big fan of You're the Inspiration.
Oh, God. I am the man who will fight for your honor. Shut up. Peter Cetera.
More like Peter Ceterable.
Oh, well. Henny Youngman juice.
All right.
The most ridiculous song. One of the most ridiculous songs is Hard for Me to Say I'm Sorry by Chicago. This is like your vintage Peter Cetera era Chicago. Hard for Me to Say I'm Sorry. And it's the crazy thing about the song is it was, first of all, it was used in a movie about three people having an affair, like a threesome. It was Peter Gallagher and Daryl Hannah, I want to say, and then I can't remember who the third actress was, but it was called Summer Lovers. And it was, and the song was used in that movie. This was in 82, I want to say. And I can't remember the other actress's name. Daryl Hannah, Peter Gallagher, and they were like in Greece, and they're having like a summer love affair. And Hard for Me to Say I'm Sorry by Chicago was used in it. Tom, are you familiar with Hard for Me to Say I'm Sorry?
Yeah, I've heard it a million times.
Yeah, so you know that the ending of the song is the most ridiculous thing,
yeah,
like ever, because it's like this ballad. And all of a sudden, and we get there, and it's got this weird like coda that makes no sense. That seems like what? Yeah,
it's very odd.
It's just ridiculous. And that movie was ridiculous, if I remember correctly. I would say I wish I could remember, because the other actress, I think, was a French actress who didn't make a lot of American films. She mostly made French films. And if I'm not mistaken, it was directed by Randall Clazar.
What's the title one more time?
Summer Lovers.
Lovers, Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah, Peter Gallagher, and another girl whose name, like I said, I don't remember. And I think Randall Clazar directed it.
Yeah, Randall Clazar.
Who is also the auteur of Grease.
Valerie Kennison?
She's French, I believe. And she didn't make a lot of...
Yeah, she's French. Yeah. Valerie Kennison, I think is how that's pronounced.
Terrible movie, and used that song in it. Did Randall Clazar also direct... Am I remembering this correctly? Did he direct The Blue Lagoon?
That is correct. He did that in 80, and Summer Lovers was 82.
Okay, there you go. Okay, we're going to take a break. And we are talking about the best first song on the first side of a first album, or just best first song on an album in general. 312-981-7200 is the phone number on 720 WGN, and we'll return with more after this.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel it's right. All the attraction. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
Hey, girl, I can see your body moving.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday.
Yeah!
312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from Dave in Monroe. He wanted to hear some Shakira, any Shakira.
Any Shakira.
So I played literally the only Shakira song I know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Shakira from Shake and Bake. I don't know what you're... I don't know. I mean, I just know her hips don't lie. That's the only thing.
That's true.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. We are talking about first songs on albums. And almost specifically, first songs, first side, first album, an artist making a debut. 708 area code, my name is Eminem. Is that the first song on his first album?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was an opener on one of them.
I'm not a big Eminem guy.
I was really into the 8 Mile soundtrack, and I used to hide it. Wouldn't let my mom know I was listening to Eminem. And then when she found out, I got in big trouble.
What's the song where he's the guy, right? Stan.
Stan, yeah.
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 I like that song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
A little Dido in there.
Yeah. 847 area code, next to you by the police. Oh, please.
Great opener.
Please. Next to you by the police. 407 area code says there's only one answer to this question. That's Blitzkrieg Bop from the first Ramones album. Mentioned in this article, and obviously deservedly so, mentioned in the article that I have here. A two-minute burst of locomotive guitar riffs, bashing drums, and, of course, one of punk's most famously rallying cries, hey, ho, let's go. Blitzkrieg Bop set the blueprint for the Ramones' career. All right. People are actually in the article as well talking about Beyoncé, Crazy in Love. Sure, Beyoncé was already well onto the path of musical domination with Destiny's Child before deciding to launch a solo career, but the brassy Crazy in Love is a bold statement of independence that underscored her artistic versatility and catapulted her into the stratosphere. Is that the one where you... No, that's it put a ring on it. That's the one where that they parodied when JT hosted SNL. She was the musical guest.
Here, yeah. this is Crazy in Love.
No, I know the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just don't like it.
I'm not a big Beyonce fan either, but even I like that song. I think it's all right.
I just don't like Beyonce, and I don't understand it. I will always be completely and absolutely baffled by the fascination and adoration of Beyonce. Always. I do not understand it.
Not part of the Bayhive?
Not at all. Not in the least. I mean, I just don't get it, because it's just completely, people go nuts over her.
It's total idolatry, man.
I don't understand
it. It's nutty.
I just don't understand it. She's fine. She can sing and maybe she can dance and stuff, but relax. Lots of people can do what she can do, and lots of people can do it better than she can do it. Just don't get it. Never will. But Crazy in Love, man, a big hit for her, you know, and that was on her first solo record. All right, how about this? Chuck Berry, School Days on After School Session from 1957. Not only did this song zero in on the everyday high school drudgery, no seats in the lunchroom, being annoyed by classmates, but it also celebrated the sweetness of afternoon freedom, listening to music and dancing. School Days is also notable for giving us one of music's indelible phrases, hail, hail, rock and roll. Yeah, man.
Good old Chuck Berry.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Chuck Berry. Pretty much. All right, how about this? The Beatles, I Saw Her Standing There from Please Please Me. The Beatles didn't emerge fully formed, of course. The band members honed their skills in clubs for years before the British invasion, but this Paul McCartney, John Lennon tune makes a good case for the group's genius, obviously indebted to 50s rock and roll. The twisting rhythms, the brisk tempo, and the giddy exhortations, I'll never dance with another, ooh, makes I Saw Her Standing There sound fresh and edgy. Mm-hmm. right. Here's one. 312-981-7200. Texts in. 331 area code says, "More Than a Feeling" by Boston. Absolutely yes. Man, that's like, hey, here's Boston. This is what we sound like, and this is More Than a Feeling. And it's going to inspire Kurt Cobain to write Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I'm so tired of hearing that song on classic rock radio. It drives me crazy.
That's one of those
I turn
songs,
it off every time.
That's one of those songs that I can't get sick of. I mean, I've heard it a million times. There are songs that are overplayed, and I realize that they're overplayed, but I still love them. More Than a Feeling is one of them. But I've often said this. If I never hear Baba O'Reilly again, I'll live a full life. I don't need to hear that song ever again. And there are those staples of classic rock that get played over and over and over and over and over again, some of which like Stairway. I could hear Stairway 50 times a day. Stairway, I'm not sick of Stairway.
Still great, yeah.
Freebird, not sick of Freebird. I could listen to Freebird. I love Freebird.
It's an awesome song.
I love that song. I don't love idiots screaming it at concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame Kevin Matthews for that. but yeah, I mean, I've often told people in bands, I've often said, listen, here's the deal. You're in a band and some drunk knucklehead moron is screaming, "Freebird!" I think every band should know a really, really kick-ass, amazing version that lasts about 15 minutes. Like One from the Road, like on the live album, One from the Road. There's like a 15-minute version of Freebird, which rules. You should know that and have it in your arsenal. And so when some drunk moron screams, "Freebird," play that. And then when you're done playing it, say, "Now shut up."
He won't be able to respond because his face will be melted.
That's the point.
That's how you get him.
That's right. But there are songs. I can understand people getting sick of songs. I can understand. I totally understand why you'd be sick of More Than the Feeling. I just happen to still think it rules. But there are a lot of songs. I bet this is a whole other topic we could jump into. It's like
songs you're sick of.
Songs you never want to hear. Like classic rock in particular. You know, it couldn't fall under classic rock only. But songs that you never want to hear ever again. Like Feelings by Morris, what the hell was his name?
Morris Day?
No. Morris, oh man, I can't remember.
Chestnut?
No. This is way before you were born. This is the 70s. Feelings, nothing more than feelings.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'll figure that out.
That's another one, man. You Light Up My Life. Oh my God. All right, let's break here. The news is coming up after this.
I can see it now. Distant red neon shivered in the heat. I was feeling like a stranger in a strange land. You know, where people play games with the night. God, I was too hot to sleep. I followed the sound of a jukebox coming from up the levee. All of a sudden, I could hear somebody whistling.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And how's it going? We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6. It is Wild Card Wednesday.
Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday.
And who requested that?
It's coming to us from Canadian Bill.
Yes.
Robbie Robertson.
Right, Robbie Robertson. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about debut songs on debut albums from debut artists. 312-981-7200. We were also just screaming about songs that we never want to hear ever again. Or songs that are overplayed that, like, you still like. Like, I can still listen to Stairway. I'm trying to think if there are any Zeppelin songs that I'm sick of.
Hot Dog?
Well, they don't play that. That's Zeppelin's worst song by a landslide.
Honestly, I kind of get annoyed of hearing All of My Love a lot.
Yeah.
This is not a terrible song. I'm not trying to call it a bad song. It's just on a lot.
Yeah. But, I mean, but Hot Dog is a truly terrible song. Hot Dog is an awful song. But All My Love gets played a lot, and I think it gets played too much. I don't really love that album very much. But yeah. And then I don't think there are any Sabbath songs I'm sick of. Like, I could listen to Iron Man. I'd be happy to listen to Iron Man. Paranoid gets, those are the ones that get played the most. War Pigs, please. You can never get sick of War Pigs.
I wouldn't mind them dipping, if rock radio could dip into volume 4 a little bit more, that'd be kind of nice.
Sure. Well, they play, what do they play off of? Don't they play Snowblind? Doesn't Snowblind?
Every once in a while, you'll get a Snowblind here or there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind getting, like, Children of the Grave on there.
Jam.
There's many a Black Sabbath song that...
Well, it's Black Sabbath rules. I mean, it's... Please. The first 5 Black Sabbath albums are about as good as it gets in the world. So, anyway. But yeah, there are also... If you want to jump in about songs that you never want to hear again, or songs that get played a lot that you still haven't gotten sick of. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Oh, God.
Trying to forget my... feelings of love.
Just want to make sure people know that was a number one hit. What you're hearing there.
Remarkable.
Number one hit was on the charts forever and was played all the time.
Well, it's the soft radio hit that America wants.
Oh, my God. That was like during the era of Bread as well.
Oof.
Yeah.
Not a great time.
People love Bread. And I'm not talking about the food. I'm talking about the band, the most aptly named band in the history of music. Bread.
What's it sound like? Kind of just sounds like a loaf of bread.
They should add the word white before it, though. that should be the best. They should have added the word white. But it's just the most aptly named band. And it was early 70s. Early 70s, there was this thing in the early 70s where the crap like that got played a lot on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't ever need to hear another song by Bread. There you go. If a picture paints 1,000 words, shut up, guitar man. Get out of here. All right, we got some debut texts here from people talking about debut songs. Here's a good one. We talked about this. We talked about this band a lot yesterday. Once from 10, Pearl Jam. That's a jam. The Doors, Break On Through. Okay, you can listen to that one. There's a band I never want to hear. There's one band I can never want to hear another song by that band. Ever. I only like one with the orchestra that everybody hates. Touch Me. That's the only one I like.
I love that song.
It's the only one I like.
Great track.
But yeah, I can't stand that band. Oh, God, I can't stand them. Holidays in the Sun. Oh, good one. Holidays in the Sun from Nevermind the Bollocks. Jay says, Nick, 1981, Beauty and the Beat. First song, we got the beat. No, the first song is Our Lips Are Sealed. I know this one. I'm not going to blow it like I blew Black Dog and Rock and Roll. It's Our Lips Are Sealed is the first song on Beauty and the Beat. Nick, hard to beat the success of Cyndi Lauper's first solo album, She's So Unusual, the verse cut being Girls Just Want to Have Fun. She was the first female artist to have 4 songs on the chart, top 5 from a first album. Because she rules. I love Cyndi Lauper.
She's very good, and She Bop is great.
Great. She's got a lot of great songs, man. Mm. Time After Time. I mean, that's a great song. What else? And, but there's another, why am I blanking on the other big ballad that she had that was fantastic? There's Time After Time. And, oh, man. I liked her version of I Drove All Night.
True Colors.
There it is. True Colors, of course. Yeah, no, I love Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, and now she's doing, like, psoriasis commercials.
Yeah, well, she's got psoriasis. She's trying to help people out. Listen, the woman had a pigeon poop in her mouth at a concert.
Yeah.
She should be able to do whatever she wants. She's also extraordinarily talented.
She is.
you know, co-wrote Kinky Boots.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No wonder it's so good.
Yeah.
Because I don't even like musicals all that much. Kinky Boots is awesome.
It is. Dolly Parton, Dumb Blonde from Hello, I'm Dolly. Although not penned by Parton, Dumb Blonde was eerily prescient. In particular, the kicky country song, Just Because I'm Blonde, Don't Think I'm Dumb, because this dumb blonde ain't nobody's fool. Might as well have doubled it as her career manifesto. Here's a good one. You Too, I Will Follow. What's the first song? The first song on Joshua Tree is Where the Streets Have No Name. That's a pretty great way to kick off a song.
Because it's got the, it's got that really nice long fade in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Edge comes in with the riff.
Is New Year's Day the first song on War?
No, it's Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
That whole album is just back to front awesome.
Yeah. It's not my favorite U2 album. My favorite U2 album is Achtung Baby. That's absolutely my favorite.
Yeah.
Is Mysterious Ways the first song on that?
Mysterious Ways.
Wait, let me see. No, Zoo Station.
Yeah. Which is, it's a good opener. It sets the stage, but it's not a song that I would listen to on its own.
Yeah. Well, that song has, that album has One on it, and that's all you need.
Mm-hmm. And The Fly, which is a really weird little
track. That was the first single off that record. That was the first single off that record. I remember when it came out, people were like, what's wrong with this band?
Mm-hmm. Man, there are a lot of good cuts. Until the End of the World is awesome. Love is Blindness.
Yeah. No, Achtung Baby is their best album, man.
I have an affinity for really young and kind of punky, you know, U2.
Yeah.
We're just a bunch of scrappy kids.
Another great album by them? All That You Can't Leave Behind, which has A Beautiful Day on it. Yeah, All That You Can't, and that's the first song on the record right there. But I think that album is amazing. I think that All That You Can't Leave Behind is a great album. And you kick off that song with Beautiful Day, which is one of my favorite U2 songs. Actually, that one and One, I think, are my two favorite U2 songs. So you kick off an album with Beautiful Day, which is a pretty flawless song. And then Stuck in a Moment, then Elevation, then Walk On. Like, the first four or five songs on the album are amazing. So... I Will Follow from Boy. Superstardom wasn't a given for U2, but I Will Follow, the Irish Quartet, was already acting like a stadium-filling rock band. A promise of fidelity and loyalty, the hopscotching tune applies a glossy polish to propulsive punk, post-punk. How about this? The Cure, 10:15 Saturday Night. I love that song. From Three Imaginary Boys. A marvel of post-punk minimalism, 10:15 Saturday Night captures the angst intrinsic to romantic uncertainty. When Robert Smith repeatedly murmurs drip, 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 drip in time with guitar and drums, the tension in his voice in phrasing is agonizing. 10:15 Saturday Night, that's a great song. Duran Duran, Girls on Film from their first album, Duran Duran. Back in 81, the space-age disco glam single Girls on Film sounded like it was beamed from another planet. To this day, the song sounds like the future, which is no doubt one reason why it remains Duran Duran's setlist staple. As it should, because it rules. Madonna's first album, first song on Madonna's first album, is Lucky Star. Madonna announced her formidable presence with this glittering encapsulation of early 80s New York City dance clubs. So yeah, Lucky Star, first album, first song on the first album by Madonna. That's pretty good. that's not bad. I Can't Live Without My Radio by Ladies Love. Little LL Cool J. Here's a good one from Salt and Peppers. Boy, their first song on their first album is Push It.
Yeah, man. It's just an absolute banger.
It's such a great song. I love Salt and Pepper. And let's not forget Spinderella. I was so happy that she was in that. Was that a Geico commercial? Push It. When they were telling everybody to push doors and stuff.
Oh, God.
Was that Geico?
Oh, no. I can't. But I remember the.
The commercial's awesome. The commercial's fantastic.
When I put her in, yeah.
I was very, very happy that Spinderella was included in the commercial. But I can't remember what the commercial was for. The push it's real good, and they're pushing elevator buttons, and what was that about 10 years ago, that commercial?
Yeah, I think I want to say it was like 20, maybe even sooner.
Yeah, Push It. Oh man, I remember when Salt and Pepper came out. Their first album came out.
It is a Geico commercial.
Geico, yeah. Hey, why wasn't that included in the best of?
Probably because they would need to get them all.
Yeah, they would probably have to get them.
Like here it is. Elevator.
Yeah. There's Spinderella too. That's where Spinderella pops in.
If you're Salt and Pepper,
and they had a pregnancy like class.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's fantastic.
Oh man.
Oh, here's one. Straight out of Compton, NWA. Hi, we're NWA. How are you?
Here we're gonna change the rap landscape in one song.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you, that's got to be one of the best debut songs on a debut album ever. It's got to be. Because, I mean, the statement that song makes right out of the gate. Yeah, man.
Well, and then, of course, you have another statement following it.
Yeah.
Something regarding the police, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Let's see. What are some other great debut songs? And also songs that you that you're sick of that you never want to hear. I wonder if there's any Beatles songs I never want to hear again.
Never want to hear again. Probably none of them. But
well, Revolution Number 9. But that's not a you don't hear that one on the radio very often.
Yeah, I could stand to not hear that one ever again.
How about from ZZ Top's Eliminator album? Give me all your lovin'. Give me all your lovin'. All your hugs and kisses too. That's when they had that stretch in the 80s where they started spinning their guitars around.
A good time was had by all.
They had that stretch in the 80s where the ZZ Top was just massive. All right, how about Queen's News of the World? You know the first song on News of the World? We Will Rock You. That's quite a way to kick off. So yeah, how about the first song on the Johnny Cash American recordings? The Man Comes Around. That's a pretty good way to kick off that album. Okay, we've got some other texts coming in here. 312-981-7200. While The Clash has been kind of successful for a while, London Calling, the first track on this double album, hit hard and manages to even now. London Calling.
Amazing opening track.
Well, yeah. Texas Flood by Stevie Ray Vaughan is fantastic. Love Struck Baby is the first song. Unbelievable, great debut album. 847 songs here. Songs I never want to hear. Mary Hopkins, Those Were the Days. Oh, man. Another one from that Bread era. I Hate Bread. And another song from that era, Afternoon Delight.
Now, I'll bat for Afternoon Delight.
Yes, because you weren't around when it was popular.
Well, yeah, I only got it after Anchorman came out.
Well, yeah.
When they do the bit where they sing Afternoon Delight, it's so funny.
It's great, but you know what? You weren't alive when that song was on the radio every 5 minutes, and the Starlight Vocal Band got a variety show. They gave the Starlight Vocal Band a variety
on
show.
On the strength of Afternoon Delight alone?
Yes.
Wow, they must have been really good.
They sucked. Here's the thing about that, though. I feel a little mixed about it, and here's why. Because obviously the Starlight Vocal Band sucked, and Afternoon Delight is a terrible song, except for what you said, the use of it in Anchorman. But David Letterman got his professional debut on that show as a correspondent and a writer on the Starlight Vocal Band. So you have to be grateful for that. So, all right, we got a break here. 312-981-72. By the way, coming up after the 4:30 news, Know Your Onion. Get ready to go.
Here comes Amos. Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. He hunted alligator for a living. It just knock him in the head with a stone. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Yay! 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Got a few more texts here. 301 area code says, every time I hear feelings, I want to blow my brains out.
A little harsh, but okay.
No, but you got to understand, man. You know, you couldn't turn on a radio without that song. I mean, it was everywhere. Morris Albert. Feelings. It was at every wedding. You go to any kind of wedding. Feelings. Shut up. All right, how about first song? It's not their first album, but first song on It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. That would be Bring the Noise.
And you could say close to that, Wu-Tang entered the 36 Chambers.
Oh, sure.
Bring to Ruckus.
Yeah, Bring to Ruckus. How about Peter Piper from Raising Hell by Run DMC, speaking of that genre. That's a great one. Iggy and the Stooges, Raw Power, Search and Destroy.
Oh, yeah. Crap. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't get
unrelenting.
Doesn't get much better than that. Okay. Adele, Rolling in the Deep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent opener.
Yeah. Okay, let's break here. When we come back, we'll wrap this up. If you want to talk about songs that you don't want to hear ever again or songs that you're not sick of, we also have been getting a few texts again. This is September 11th, and we've got some texts where people are remembering it and talking about their feelings and what it was like. And if you would like to jump in with your 9/11 remembrance, text us those, and I'll read some of those as we go through the morning. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Wow. Okay. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man. Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Who had a hankering to hear the theme from Love Boat?
Oh, that was a Charlie's Angels theme.
Oh, that was Charlie's. Oh, no. Love Boat is Jack Jones singing.
Yeah.
The Love Boat.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Okay. So, yeah, it was Charlie's Angels.
It's coming to us from Steve.
Okay, Steve. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We've been talking a little music stuff here. Also, coming up in just about an hour after the 4:30 news, Know Your Onion. Tom will be your host. We will get two contestants on two separate lines. They will play the game alone. And the deal is Tom will read them a news headline. And then they have to decide whether that news headline is real or from The Onion. The Onion, which is a fake newspaper that does satirical comedy news. But because the real news in the real world is completely insane nowadays, you can hardly tell what's what. So the idea is to hear the news headline and then say whether you think it's real or The Onion. And you'll win some prizes. That's coming up here after the 4:30 news. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about great debut songs, and we've also kind of been talking about songs that that get played way too much, and maybe you don't want to hear them anymore, or maybe you still like them. But also, we've been reflecting on September 11th, because today is September 11th, and we're talking about remembering it. And so we would love you to text in your memories about where you were and how you found out about it and how it affected you on this day of 9/11. Dan and Mary says, "Hey Nick, Tom on Hey Nick and Tom on 9/11. I was at work at Midway Airport. We noticed United or airlines like United, Lufthansa, ECT landing. We were asking, what are they landing here for?" That's when they announced that everybody got grounded. 773 area code was at Walt Disney World, which they closed, and my daughter was here in Chicago staying with my parents. She was in high school, and the teachers and her friends were very supportive of her, with my with the mom being very, very far away. So, all right. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And debut songs on albums. How about Let's Go Crazy on Purple Rain? That's a pretty great way to start off that album. Let's see. Wanna Be Starting Something from Thriller? Would that be considered a great song to start off?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that album.
That's why?
I just don't like it. I don't like anything. I don't really like it. I like a couple songs off of Thriller. I like Human Nature. And I like PYT.
You don't even like Thriller, the song?
No, I don't.
Not even with that nice little Vincent Price.
That's the best part of the song. But no, Beat It's okay because Eddie Van Halen plays guitar on it.
Yeah, it's a great riff too.
But yeah, no, for me, he peaked at Off the Wall. He peaked at Off the Wall. I still think that's by far his best album, and I don't think he did anything worthwhile after Thriller. I will give you Thriller. But everything after that, who cares? Bad. What was some of the other ones in it?
I mean, I'm no Michael Jackson aficionado.
What were some of the other ones after that? Bad. God. I don't even remember. It just Oh, I like Scream, the song he did with his sister. And I love the video.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like Alien Ant Farm's version of Smooth Criminal. I guess that doesn't count, though.
How can you forget Ben?
That's pre.
Oh,
off
yeah,
the
that
wall.
Is pre. Yeah, yeah, he was just a kid then.
Yeah. No. Jackson 5? Awesome. Jackson 5, fantastic. Ben? Love Ben. But post Off the Wall, I have major issues with Thriller. Mm. And then everything after that, I don't like at all. Like, at all. Except, like I said, I like the Alien Amphorn version of Smooth Criminal. I love that version.
Imagine being a band where your only big hit was a cover.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of bands who that happened too. All right. How about we open Let It Bleed with Gimme Shelter? There's something. Well, we mentioned Smells Like Teen Spirit yesterday. That is the first song on Nevermind, and that pretty much set the standards for it. Isn't it really funny that that Smells Like Teen Spirit is the first song on that album, and More Than the Feeling is the first song on the Boston album?
Do,
you think that's a coincidence?
Nirvana was just a Boston cover act in disguise.
That's right. Doc said, "Songs that we've heard enough, MacArthur Park. Bring in the damn cake already." Cakes. Somebody left the cake out in the rain. MacArthur Park. I still love the fact that Richard Harris.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that Richard Harris had a smash hit single with MacArthur Park. Um, 773 area code says, I never want to hear Donka Shane by Wayne Newton, and he's my cousin. He's your cousin? Wayne Newton is your cousin? Donka Shane.
I like Donka Shane. I think that's a great song, but I can see, you know, if your cousin's just singing it all the time.
Yeah. All right, and then let's say first song on Born to Run.
Thunder Road, yeah.
Yeah. How about Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears, first song. Beck, Odelay, remember the first song on that?
That's, is it Where It's At?
Devil's Haircut.
Devil's Haircut. God, Devil's Haircut in my mind.
Yeah. Another artist.
Never been into Beck.
No. Except for the album where he's all depressed and it's all about every
sea
song.
Sea Change.
Yeah, I like that record.
Yeah, Sea Change. I mean, Beck is a very specific sort of guy.
He's not my, that's just not my deal. Beck is definitely not in my wheelhouse at all. How about this? Highway to Hell. First song on Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
The great Bon Scott. That's a great album.
And then Back in Black.
Back in Black. Right. New York Dolls, Personality Crisis. You can't go wrong with that. Or Buster Poindexter.
I had no idea until you told me that.
You didn't know.
Dude from the New York Dolls.
You didn't know that was David Johansen was also Buster Poindexter?
Well, yeah. And what was that? That's Feeling Hot, Hot, Hot.
Yeah, that's Buster Poindexter. God. It's great. Buster Poindexter rules. another group that I was never that never got me. Nine Inch Nails, Pretty Hate Machine, Head Like a Hole is the first song on Pretty Hate Machine.
Yeah, that's a really good song. But it's one of those bands where you either really enjoy them or you don't.
My favorite stuff that he's ever done is his soundtrack work.
Yeah, well, I'm happy he was able to expand. You know, that's a cool thing.
That angsty crap. That kind of crap was not, because, you know, when they got popular, I was already like in my late 20s, mid 20s or something like that. I couldn't care less about those guys. Trent Reznor. No, you know what? Did he work with Bowie on I'm Afraid of Americans? Was that,
I don't know if they worked together on that, but they toured together on that.
Okay.
Because that was when Bowie would dress in the big Union Jack, like, leather thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they toured together.
Because I'm Afraid of Americans, I love that song. And I think Reznor produced it, right? Did he produce? Because it sounds like it could be Nine Inch Nails. Like, I'm Afraid of Americans sounds like it.
Well, that whole album was very of that specific time in the 90s when that sound was pretty big.
Yeah. Where do you stand on Marilyn Manson?
You kidding me? Ew. I'll give him the Beautiful People.
I love Beautiful People.
I'll give him the cover of Tainted Love.
Well, what about the cover of the Eurythmics song?
No. You can't. Yeah. You literally can't improve upon that song. It is perfect in every way.
I love Beautiful People.
I think that's a pretty good song.
First of all, I love the video. I absolutely love that video. And it used to freak my ex-wife. She would just be completely freaked out by it and go, I can't turn it off.
But, I mean, you're talking to someone who grew up post Marilyn Manson's, like, real notoriety. And he just came off as, like, really kind of dumb and edgy. Ooh, I'm so edgy. I'm Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a good song. I'll admit it. That's a good song. And, by the way, that I'm Afraid of Americans was produced by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
By
Reznor.
A few producers, but credited as Nine Inch Nails. As just Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, it's credited as Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, not Trent Reznor, but it's credited as Nine Inch Nails, which is Trent Reznor.
Right. True. Hey, do we have weather?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Getting weather here in a second. So, yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Those are some debut songs that we were talking about, and that were... quite an announcement of talent. If you want to jump in here, we're going to wrap this up and then get to some breakfast food items and talk a little bit about Wendy's, who are now they are offering breakfast nationwide. So we're going to jump into that. But if you want to wrap it up here, maybe even with songs that you never, ever want to hear again or songs that get overplayed that you're not really sick of, like me. I'm not sick of Freebird. I could listen to Freebird. Sweet Home Alabama, on the other hand, no. No. I can't do Sweet Home Alabama. There's one that I just like, I try to change it. All right. But like Simple Man and Tuesday's Gone. Those are probably my two favorite Skynyrd songs. Simple Man and Tuesday's Gone. And they play Tuesday's Gone when the kegs are empty at the Moon Tower in Dazed and Confused. It's like the most perfectly placed song, one of the most perfectly placed songs in the whole movie. Cuz it captures the feeling like the kegs are empty, man. We have to leave the Moon Tower. Way, Bill. I'm on a Mexican radio. So, and you doubted my impression.
I did.
But that's what it sounds that, like.
It's not bad at all.
Who wanted Wall of Voodoo?
It's coming to us from Ike.
Ike wanted a little Wall of Voodoo. Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. And periodically, we're going to be doing some remembrances about 9/11. Today is the 18th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and we must never forget. We must always remember. And if you want to share your thoughts on that day, the days following, how you were feeling, how you found out, where you were, 312-981-7200 for texting. And I'll read some of those throughout the rest of the show here. 312-981-7200. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So, welcome back, everybody. We've been doing some music talk here for a little while. First songs on albums on first sides and first from the first artists and all that stuff. And then songs that you never want to hear again. So, let's see. We've got also some other ones here today. 815 area code, New Day Yesterday by Jethro Tull from Stand Up. Great opening song. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Perfect. Nick, how about Three Times the First? Debut side song, The Outfield on Play Deep, Say It Isn't So. That's a great song. I love The Outfield. I love that band. 708 area code, good song, but I can't listen to it anymore. Layla. I tend to agree. Is a little too much of the Layla. Wicked Gravity on the album Catholic Boy by Jim Carroll. All right, 724 area code. Jumping in on that. All right. So, I was not aware of this. You know, this news story has broke. I just assumed that every fast food place served breakfast. I just assumed that. And when I found out that Wendy's was only in certain parts of the country, but not every Wendy's in America served breakfast. And I don't know why that freaked me out. I was like, wait a minute, what?
I was in a panic.
How can a fast food joint, especially as popular, a fast food joint as popular as Wendy's not serve breakfast? It seems weird to me. But it's official, friends. The long-awaited breakfast bacon cheeseburger is on its way. Gone are the days of waiting outside of Wendy's for it to open when ordering the Baconator cheeseburger. And calling it breakfast, quote-unquote breakfast. Now Wendy's is introducing a legitimate breakfast menu led by the Breakfast Baconator, which is just like a regular Baconator, except with an egg, since everyone knows that eggs equal breakfast. So it's just the Baconator, it's just the cheeseburger with bacon, they put an egg on top of it. That's pretty much all it is?
I think they might be using a sausage patty instead of a
beef patty?
Like a beef patty, make it more breakfast-themed.
Okay. Nation's Restaurant News reported the story yesterday afternoon, and since then everybody has been in a tizzy. Yeah, it broke yesterday morning that they were going to be serving the breakfast. They're going to do the breakfast menu at Wendy's, and again, it's hard for me to believe that there wasn't already a breakfast menu. Yes, yes, I hear some of you say you can already get the Breakfast Baconator at your local Wendy's. And it also the Frosty Chino. What? Come on, man. Also the Frosty Chino, the Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit, and what appear to be an egg sandwich and breakfast potatoes. But the breakfast menu has been limited to just 300 of Wendy's roughly 5,400 franchises. But now it's going nationwide in early 2020. Wendy's will invest $20 million in the venture and plans to hire 20,000 more employees. And no, your memory is not deceiving you. Wendy tried breakfast before, starting in its 1980s Where's the Beef glory years and returning as recently as 2013. So I'm not crazy. They did try breakfast. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't been a consistent part of the menu.
Right.
Over the years.
Like, I've never had Wendy's breakfast.
I don't think I have either. They mean it this time, though. Everyone has breakfast now. Not just McDonald's and Burger King, but also Chick-fil-A and Taco Bell. It's time, Wendy's. It's past time. Now, we were talking off the air that I was just surprised because, you know, I was just surprised that a fast food restaurant as popular as Wendy's didn't already have breakfast. I mean, and I just kept thinking to myself, well, look, Taco Bell has breakfast. I mean, if Taco Bell has breakfast, wouldn't it be easy to assume or simple to assume that every other single fast food place in the country would have breakfast if Taco Bell's got it? Now, I've had Taco Bell's breakfast.
It's good stuff.
It is good.
Good eats.
It is good. It's good like everything at Taco Bell. And I the thing about Taco Bell, and I always preface this, is Taco Bell is not Mexican food. I don't know what it is, but it's good, but it's not Mexican food. People who think that Taco Bell is genuine Mexican food have never had Mexican food because it's not Mexican food. Not saying that it's not good, because it is good. I love Taco Bell. The other thing I love about Taco Bell, and their breakfast is good too. But the other thing I love about Taco Bell, you walk in with $5, you can eat for a week at Taco Bell. That's what I've always loved about Taco Bell, how astoundingly cheap Taco Bell is.
Well, they're also innovators in the fast food space, you know, in terms of what they're willing to do for menu items.
I think what we were talking about, the Taco Beefer.
Yeah, the
the Taco Beefer, right? The Taco Bell, the Taco Bell Beefer, which was like a loose meat. It was like a sloppy Joe kind of but like with taco meat and spices.
Yeah,
but on a bun instead of a taco shell.
The Beefer.
That's one of the greatest names ever for something that sounds really unappetizing, but I bet it tasted pretty good. Yeah, I would like a Taco Bell Beefer, please.
Beef me, baby.
With some Beefer. Taco Bell Beefer.
I still think that the Doritos Locos Taco is one of the most exciting fast food developments in recent years.
I remember when it first broke, everybody went nuts. They went nuts. You know? But you got to eat it with the sleeve, because otherwise you're going to get Dorito powder all over your fingers.
I know at least one person who would actually want that.
Oh, yeah. My ex.
Cheeto fingers.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, well, here I have from foodbeast.com, they are picking some of the best fast food breakfast items across the USA. So maybe some of these aren't available here in Chicago, but they, but you know, maybe not locally. But these are their favorite fast food breakfast items. Now, I want to hear from you. What fast food breakfast do you love? What are your favorite fast food breakfast items and so on? 312-981-7200. Okay, we're going to break here. The news is coming up right after this. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. Wildcard Wednesday continues. You hear me, Wildcard Wednesday? We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive on this Wednesday morning. Who requested Batman?
That's coming to us from Dino.
Yeah. Some of the most complicated lyrics of all time.
How many nanas is it?
I don't even know.
50.
Enough to make it snappy. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk or text. We were just talking about how Wendy's now nationwide will be offering a breakfast menu, which I thought they were a little late on the game to that one, but they are going to be offering breakfast at all of their restaurants, and I just assumed that they had, you know, they had it already. But that got us to thinking here about what are your favorite fast food breakfast treats, your favorite fast food breakfast items. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Foodbeast.com went across the USA, and they put together their thoughts on the fast food breakfast items that are the best. Some of them might not be available. Some of them might be available locally, but these are available throughout the U.S. But we want to hear from you. We've got some texts coming in. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312 area code says, seems White Castle has the most appealing fast food breakfast sandwich. They have bacon, egg, cheese on toast. Same as you would make at home. You can't go wrong. Yeah, the White Castle has been advertising their breakfast items pretty regularly now. It looks like they've got some really good stuff. I haven't had breakfast at White Castle in a long time, but I think they now have new items that you can get. It's being the mascot is an egg, like a wacky sort of kind of animated egg. Speaking of mascots. Did you watch the Kit Kat commercial?
No, I haven't. I have not had the chance. I'm going to watch it in a sec.
You have to watch it because it's the best. For those people who don't know, they brought back the Kit Kat commercial that debuted last year around Halloween time. It's back. It's now being aired because we're getting, you know, close to October, and it's the great commercial where the girl carves the pumpkin completely terribly. Mouth on a terrible angle, eyes all screwed up. He looks terrible, the poor pumpkin. She apologizes to the pumpkin. The pumpkin forgives her and gives her a Kit Kat. I love that commercial, and I love the pumpkin. I love the pumpkin, the way he looks. I love the voice. I love that commercial, and I couldn't be happier that they're bringing it back for this year's Halloween season. He's like, hey, can you find it? Let's play a little of the audio of it. But anyway, White Castle is advertising their new breakfast menu with Captain Egg. I don't know what is he. He's wearing like a suit. He's got sunglasses and a cane. He's an egg saying, hey, look, sandwiches. But he's nowhere near as cool as the pumpkin.
Boo!
I'm sorry for what I did to your face.
All good. Have a break. Breaks are good. Have one.
There you go. It's a little bit longer version. But my favorite part is like when he goes, duh, and like scares her.
Yeah.
But then he goes, huh, and then he looks sad because he looks so terrible.
He's so miserable.
He's so miserable because he's carved so horribly. Yeah.
Oh.
I love that commercial.
It's no Filet-O-Fish, but.
Well, no, come on, nothing is. 262 area code, talking about your fast food breakfasts. When your morning's gone to hell, just go to Taco Bell.
Oh.
Okay. Nipsey Russell texting in this morning. All right. Let's see. Here is Ken on WGN. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Hey, I was telling Tommy that Taco Bell isn't bad. Burger King, the croissant sandwiches are pretty good. They had a waffle breakfast, a waffle sandwich or something before. That was good. This new maple waffle, no way. It's not going to make it.
No.
Speedway, if you go to the gas station, Speedway's got a breakfast pizza that's pretty good. It's you special order, you order it, and they make it fresh right there. That's pretty good. And then Thornton's has got a breakfast burrito with the sausage. That's really good.
Oh, all right.
As you can tell, I eat a lot of fast food.
Yeah, you do.
Well, but I drive for a living. So,
yeah. You know. Well, you got to eat when you can, man. If you're on the road all the time, you got to take it where you can get it.
You got it. You got it.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
Have a good one, Nick.
Take care. There are some thoughts on some fast food. So here's what they say on foodbeast.com. Fast food breakfast has truly seen a revolution over the past few years. While the meal used to be a mere afterthought for some chains, it's now commonplace across the industry. Chains are even trying to one-up each other by incorporating hot trends into their breakfast menus. Thus, you can find fried chicken, spicy items, and more. Between those and some fast food breakfast classics, there's plenty of delicious morning bites to go around. We're going to try and break down the best for you. For this list and a story, we opted to select only one item to represent each fast food chain. So they only picked one item. Chains considered need to be major chains with more than 20 locations, all of which serve breakfast. To make the list, the author looked at both news outlets and the public to think about fast food breakfast. Taste tests from Business Insider, Thrillist, and more were analyzed, as was an online fan poll on the subject. Compiling this data, we have seen and eaten in the breakfast game that's enabled us to craft a list that truly captures the glory of the morning meal and all over the place. So they only picked one item from each place. So that first on the item is Krispy Kreme's Original Glazed Donut. Simple enough. Simple little breakfast item. You have a little donut in the morning, a little coffee. Krispy Kreme's Original Glazed Donut. If you've never had one, why haven't you? Because they're delicious. The original regular Krispy Kreme donut is fantastic. Kicking off our list is the undisputed king of fast food donuts. The Original Glazed easily tops the others when judged by both critics and fans. Krispy Kreme's iconic hot sign draws us all in, even NBA superstar Charles Barkley, because we know that hot, fresh Krispy Kreme is the best mainstream donut out there. There's no questioning how coveted this donut is, which is why it deserves a place on the list of fast food breakfast items. Nowadays, though, savory breakfasts dominate the market, meaning the simple sweet donut gets outshone by several others. The sweet breakfast, the retake industry should watch out for the original masterpiece, which is the Krispy Kreme's Original Glazed Donut. Okay. Now, you know, we're going to talk about more fast food items and fast food breakfast items and stuff. And we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk or text. We got a bunch of texts coming in. But I personally think the best thing on McDonald's menu is their breakfast. They have several breakfast items that are really, really good. My go-to is the sausage egg McMuffin and hash browns.
Yeah, that's what I get.
That's the go-to.
Can't be beat.
Now, there are other items on the menu that are quite good.
Sure.
Very good. Their breakfast burritos are good. But if I have a hankering for McDonald's breakfast, and sometimes you just do, because, you know, McDonald's, you know, I think they were the real innovators in terms of, like, breakfast. Like, the Egg McMuffin is a fantastic sandwich. And it's been around for decades and decades and still holds up. You get an Egg McMuffin this morning, it's going to be as good as it was 45 years ago.
Maybe even better.
And now, when I worked there, it was real eggs, and I'm assuming they still use real eggs now. But it was real eggs. It wasn't a mix. It wasn't frozen. They were real, fresh eggs.
Would you still crack them into that little circle thing?
Six circles. They were six circles, so you can cook six at a time. You have to break the yolk.
Because
if you don't break the yolk, someone's going to bite into it, and hot yolk is going to shoot out into their face.
Mm.
So that's why you have to break the yolk to make sure that it doesn't get messy, you know, when someone's trying to eat. But that's the thing now. When you get a cheeseburger, the thing is, you don't break the yolk, obviously. You put a fried egg on top of it, and when you bite into it, the yolk oozes down all over the meat and the other toppings to mix in, and that's one of the advantages and one of the cool things about having a fried egg on your burger. So, but anyway, we've got many more things. The texts are coming in, and also coming up after 4:30, it is Know Your Onion. That's where you have to know the difference between real headlines and onion headlines. It's hard. Not easy as you think it is. And we'll get a couple of contestants in here after the 4:30 news to jump in. We'll play that round, too. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. It's Wednesday morning. That means Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who wanted the Aerosmith?
It's coming to us from the 630.
Oh. Oh, okay. 630. welcome back, everybody. Hey, in just a few minutes after the 4:30 news, time to Know Your Onion. Tom will read you some news headlines, and you have to guess whether they are real or from The Onion. It's that simple. We'll get a couple of players on separately. They'll play a round each, and there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Back to your favorite fast food breakfast items. Foodbeast.com picked their favorites from across the USA. Some of these might not be available locally. But, yeah, and they only picked one item per franchise, one item per place. So, look, if we got some calls coming in at 312-981-7200. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Nick. Do you remember when the Egg McMuffin first came out? It used to have a thicker slab of Canadian bacon. And then in the 80s or the 90s, they got cheap, and they put a really thin piece on.
Ah.
And ever since then, I've never liked them as much.
Yeah. Well, it's always been, you know, when I worked at McDonald's, you know, like 40 years ago or so. And, you know, it was about 40 years ago when I worked at McDonald's. And the Canadian bacon, when I was back cooking at McDonald's, the Canadian bacon was pretty much the same as it is now. But I don't remember when they first came out, whether the Canadian bacon was thicker or not. It always seemed kind of consistent to me, but you probably know better than I do. So
it seemed like they did it to save money or something. They changed the supplier or something.
Yeah. Okay.
I also like the McGriddle.
The McGriddle. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
They can't do the McGriddle. It's too much. It's a little too much for me. It's a little too heavy. I don't know why. A little too heavy.
A little too sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I like the sweet and I like the savory, but I don't know. The McGriddle to me is a little crazy. That seems like a little crazy, but people love it. It sells like crazy. So
okay, thanks.
All right, Paul, thanks. Yeah. You like the McGriddle?
From time to time, but I like the simplicity of the sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin.
That's what I like, too. I mean, that's the thing that I like, too. There's a biscuit. They do the biscuit with scrambled egg, sausage, and biscuit, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And you can just get a sausage biscuit, as well, just biscuit and sausage.
Right.
Very simple.
You can also get the what's the one with the where they offer with a steak?
Oh, it's kind of like a McMuffin. I don't know what the
steak, egg, and cheese or
yeah,
something like
it's
that.
It's like actual steak.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, is it muffin though? Is it English muffin?
That's, no, that's not an English
some
muffin.
Some other kind of.
I don't know if it's a biscuit or maybe it's a croissant. 815 area code. Oh, here it is. 815 area code says steak, egg, croissant sandwich at McDonald's is very tasty.
I love a good croissant.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to go to Burger King, because they have the croissant sandwiches. 319 area code says Hardee's Frisco breakfast sandwich rules. 630 area code says the sausage egg slider from White Castle is awesome. You know what? I've had those frozen. They're really good.
Okay.
They're really good. The breakfast, they've got a bunch of different kind of breakfast sliders that you can get from White Castle. Just throw them in the microwave. And I've had those, and they're good. They've also got they also have like a vegetarian version, which is made from black bean. Like the patty is made from black bean.
Oh wow! Look at you, White Castle.
They have you can get frozen White Castle stuff, and I'd have a White Castle near me, and every once in a while I have a hankering for some White Castle. But I mostly get the breakfast ones. I don't get the regular sliders very often, but I mostly get the breakfast ones. And I get the when I go shopping at the Jewels, I always get the sausage, egg, and cheese.
I'll have to keep an eye out next time I'm grocery shopping to see the... Because I've seen the regular sliders.
They got those
at the Jewel and the
Here's
Aldi.
the way they have it set up at the Jewels that I go to at Irving and Narragansett. It's in the breakfast section, and the regular sliders are not. That's why you have to go to the breakfast section. If you're looking for the breakfast sliders, like the sausage, egg, and cheese sliders in the frozen section... and you're looking for them near the regular cheeseburgers and regular burgers, they're not there. You got to go to the breakfast. So they're not with the regular sliders. They're in the breakfast section. 763 says, I like to go to Burger King and get burgers for breakfast. Sure. Who doesn't like a burger for breakfast? 815 area code says, Subway, no bread. They use the egg like a tortilla shell. They put all the ingredients in, too. And you eat it like a taco. It's okay for fast food, and it's low carb. Steak and cheese bagel. Oh, that's what it is. It's a bagel, not a croissant. It's a bagel.
There it is. Yeah, I was just going to say, a couple texts came in saying it's not a croissant.
It's a bagel. Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is. Steak and cheese bagel from McDonald's is great after a rough night in the bar. Jim from Crestwood says the hash browns at McDonald's are the best. Hash browns are great at McDonald's. They're great.
My go-to is I get two sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffins and a hash brown. And depending if I'm trying to go to sleep or I'm trying to wake up, orange juice or a coffee.
608 area code says, my go-to is always the sausage burrito at McDonald's. It's cheap and it's a great one-handed driving breakfast. Oh, so you can eat while you're driving.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Chorizo burrito from McDonald's is amazing when it's available. It seems like McDonald's is getting the most mentions.
I'm not going to lie. They've probably got the best all-around breakfast.
Oh, I would totally agree with that.
And then other places have good specialty items, like your croissant witch or your crunch wrap, your breakfast crunch wrap over at the Taco Bell.
262 area code is worst breakfast ever is Chick-fil-A. I don't go to Chick-fil-A for several reasons. Del Taco's Chorizo Epic Scrambler Burrito. The breakfast burrito has become an icon across fast food, but nobody captures the true essence of what these wraps are the way that Del Taco does. Their epic scrambler burritos, especially the one loaded with the chain's Mexican chorizo, are to die for. Del Taco's Chorizo Scrambler Burrito is the most accurate breakfast burrito of them all and belongs on the list specifically for that reason. Nobody does this California classic like Del Taco does. Again, can't get it here, but apparently it's really good. All right, here's the deal. We are going to take a break. The phone lines are now open if you want to join us for Know Your Onion. Know Your Onion. 312-981-7200. First two people through will each play a round separately of Know Your Onion. So call now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That'll be coming up after we have the news.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Come here.
Say it, spit it out. What is it exactly? The pain is the amount.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday continues here. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from Hannah, a little Billie Eilish.
Yeah, there you go. That's from Hannah. All right. How's it going, everybody? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're going to get back to our conversation. When we wrap up the show, we'll get back to our conversation about some of the best fast food breakfast items across the USA, and we would love to hear from you on that. But right now, we're going to play a round, as we do every Wednesday morning at 4:30, a little round of Know Your Onion. It's a simple game. Tom is your host. He will read you some news headlines, and you have to tell us whether you think they are real or from The Onion. And, of course, The Onion is the satirical newspaper writes comedy news headlines and stories. And the news is so, the real news, what's happening now in the real world, is so absolutely insane that sometimes it's really hard to tell what's what. So he'll read a headline to you, and you tell us whether you think it is real or The Onion. We have our two contestants. We're ready to go. They play one round at a time. Tom, let's bring in the 60,000 people who always show up in the studio every Wednesday morning.
It's time to Know Your Onion!
I love the band.
I think it sounds like the same band from, like, Star Wars or something.
It's a band. I like that they come in here and they're all smoking cigarettes. All wearing tuxes and smoking cigarettes and wearing sunglasses.
That's unfiltered, believe it or not.
Yeah. I think they're from a time machine. They came in from the late 50s. Smoking Chesterfields. So that's it. There's your theme. Tom is your host. We know how to play it. Let's get going here. Here's Deanna on WGN. Deanna, is that you, Deanna?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Okay, so are you ready to play? You know The Onion, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Been listening for weeks, and hopefully I've got a good week here.
All right. Well, let's see. You know what to do. You got to guess whether the headline is real or The Onion.
Yep.
Okay. Tom, take it away.
All right, let's get this going here. All right, Deanna, your first headline. Financial advisor urges Ezekiel Elliott to set aside 20% of his salary for paying off women to keep quiet. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to guess real.
Let's see. No, that's The Onion.
That's The Onion.
It didn't sound funny enough to be The Onion.
It's more darkly comic.
Yeah, it is. Okay, you got to get going here, Deanna. So you got one down, but you have to get three total out of five.
Okay.
All right.
All right, your next headline, Deanna. Police called to a Scottish IKEA after thousands sign up for hide-and-seek. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'd say that's real.
Very good.
They did hide-and-seek at a Scottish IKEA?
Well, there's not really much else to do in Scotland.
Oh,
I won't lie to you.
Okay. All right. All right, you're 1-1, Deanna. You need two more for the win.
Okay.
All right, next up. Man who visited 15,000 Starbucks locations says after 22 years, he's kind of sick of the coffee. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go Onion.
Let's see.
Oh.
I heard about that story.
No, should have gone with my gut.
Absolutely true story. Okay. All right. Now, here's the deal, Deanna. You got to get these last two. You got to get these last two. So, Tom? Take it away.
All right. Pastor dies after 30 days of fasting to beat Jesus' record. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go Onion. Oh, I'm out, aren't I?
Yeah, you're out, Deanna. Wait a second. That's real?
Very real. It's in South Africa.
That's ridiculous. Deanna, you know, you're out, but that doesn't mean you're not a winner, because we're going to give you a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. All right? Hang on.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, you got to hang on, Deanna. Make sure you hang on. All right, you're still a winner. Even if you don't get it correct, you're still a winner. That's one of the lovely things about this game. So, all right. All right, let's get our second round in, our second contestant. Here's Carl on WGN. Hey, Carl.
Good morning, Nick.
Morning. Are you, you know what the onion is, correct?
Oh, yes. I've been listening to you since you started.
Okay. All right. So all you got to do is, when Tom reads a news headline to you, you have to figure out whether it's real or whether it's the onion. And if you get 3 out of 5, you are a winner.
All right.
Okay. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, let's bring in the music. Okay, Carl, your first headline. New, even bleaker Joker reboot features elderly comic book villain struggling to care for his wife after a stroke. Is that real or is that the Onion?
I'm going to say that's real because there is a Joker coming out.
No.
Yeah, there is a Joker coming out, but that's not the plot of that one. That's that's an Onion. And by the way, I just want to mention very quickly, for people who are regular listeners of the show, you know that I am not even remotely even faking excitement over the prospect of seeing this stupid Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. And Eric Childress texted me yesterday, because he's in Toronto. He saw it. I can't tell you what he said or what language that he used, but the word garbage was mentioned. He hated it. Hated it.
Well, I figured it was going to be beautiful garbage.
Confirming my hunch that it's a terrible movie. Okay, Carl, you got to get you still got to get 3 to go here. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right, Carl. Your next headline: Apple announces new trade-in offer for customers to exchange their old iPhones for absolutely nothing. Is that real or is that the Onion?
That's the Onion.
Very good.
All right. Very good. Very good. I bet people would still do that.
Yeah. Here. We'll throw it away for you.
Yeah. We'll throw it away for you. We're Apple. Okay. All right. Couple. Yeah. You got to get 2 more, Carl. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. A pro-Putin rapper sets record for unpopularity on Russian YouTube. Is that real or is that the Onion?
I'm gonna say that one's real.
Let's see.
Real.
Very nice.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. Okay, 1 more, Carl, and you're a winner. 1 more correct guess, and you're a winner. All right, Tom?
Cross my fingers.
All right. House Democrats vow to hold president accountable with agriculture bill, where the first letter of every line spells out impeach Trump. Is that real or is that the Onion?
I'm going to go with the Onion there.
Let's see. Very good.
Very good. Nice job. Nice job, Carl. Very, very nice job. He knows his onion.
He did know his
onion. You got to know your onion. And he gets a Lou Malnati gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. Carl, hang on. Everybody hang on. Deanna, hang on. Carl, hang on. We got to get some information off you off the air. And that's what we got this this week, and we'll do it again next week. So know your onion. And after the 4:30 news next Wednesday, we'll do it all again. Okay. We have been talking about the best fast food breakfast items across the USA. Which ones do you go for? Which ones do you love? What are your favorite fast food breakfast items? And this is in honor of the fact that Wendy's is indeed now offering breakfast nationwide. And maybe you, like myself, are surprised that they already weren't offering a nationwide breakfast, but they weren't. Periodically, they would bring some breakfast items in, but not so much. But now it's going to be all the time, all across the nation. And I think a lot of Wendy's fans are rejoicing. But we're talking about some of your favorite fast food menu items for breakfast. All right. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break here for some weather. And then when we come back, we'll jump back into the story here about the best fast food items across America. And we want to hear from you guys with your thoughts on this as well at 312-981-7200. Okay, here is some weather for you. Today, thunderstorms possible early, then sun mixed with clouds. It'll be warm and muggy with a high in the upper 80s. Mostly cloudy overnight. Scattered thunderstorms possible. Low in the upper 60s, but cooler near the lake. Tomorrow, essentially the same nonsense. Partly cloudy, breezy, warm, humid, isolated thunderstorms possible, high in the upper 80s. Mostly cloudy overnight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible, low near 60. Friday, slight chance of an early morning shower, high in the upper 70s, clear overnight and low in the upper 50s. For Saturday, abundant sunshine, high in the upper 70s, an increase in clouds overnight with a slight chance of a thunderstorm. And Sunday, slight chance of an early shower or a thunderstorm, and then partly sunny and warmer with an increase in humidity, high in the low 80s. It's currently 76 degrees at O'Hare, it's 76 at Midway, 77 at the lakefront. Okay, we will take a break, and when we come back, we'll jump back into the fast food breakfast items that we all love, the ones that this website that we're talking about loves. And then we will wrap up the show as well here on this Wednesday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number right here on WGN.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the WGN Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Who requested that?
It's coming to us. Let me grab my list here. This is coming to us from Aaron in Portage, but we did have a lot of requests for that song on today.
Okay. All right, and that's Lee Greenwood.
No, it's Alan Jackson.
Oh, all right, I get all those guys confused.
Yeah, they've got very similar qualities.
Okay, all right, coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell, and coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, welcome back, everybody, and we've been talking about fast food breakfast items, and which ones are the best, and which ones are the tastiest. Which ones do you like? And this is in honor of the fact that Wendy's will be offering breakfast now every day nationwide. So that's a very exciting thought for Wendy's fans out there. But we want to hear what you guys think of other fast food items that you love. The franchise that seems to be getting the most love this morning is McDonald's.
And
it doesn't surprise me.
No, they got it all, and they you know, they perfected it.
Yeah.
I think they really perfected the fast food breakfast.
I absolutely agree with you because they've done it. I think they were like the first, like in the like that Egg McMuffin sandwich is that sandwich has been around forever. So, all right. They mentioned Starbucks bacon, Gouda, and egg sandwich.
I've had that. It's quite good.
Bacon, egg, and cheese is the quintessential breakfast combination. Everybody's got some version of it this morning time staple, but nobody quite hits the mark like Starbucks does. Their sandwich is the most recommended by baristas to order in the morning, and for good reason. The smoky Gouda complements the bacon perfectly, creating a flavor contrast that cuts through the egg and makes you almost forget it's there. I've had a breakfast sandwich from Starbucks. I didn't have the Gouda. I don't know what I had. I don't remember. It was a morning. I believe I was filling in for Cochran a few years back, and there was the right across the street from Tribune is a Starbucks, and you'd run across there, and I would grab a sandwich and an orange juice since I don't drink coffee. But I remember it being pretty good. It wasn't bad. Jack in the Box's bacon, egg, and chicken sandwich. Jack in the Box rules. I wish we had Jack in the Box here because I want more Jack in the Box tacos because they're the finest piece of cuisine that you'll ever eat. Of course, what Starbucks doesn't do is level up the classics with something extra. Jack in the Box has taken the bacon, egg, and cheese and slammed some fried chicken into it and created an epic sandwich truly worthy of your breakfast calories. Jack's new Brunchfest menu, which features this bad boy, has put it back on the fast food map as the go-to breakfast spot. Fans don't really care for it much, however, but fried chicken for breakfast is making some waves, and Jack in the Box is riding that success.
I'm waiting for chicken. Does KFC do chicken and waffles? Have they ever done chicken
and
waffles?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're doing
Are they going to do it?
Yeah, no, they have been doing it.
Oh, they have been doing it?
Yeah.
All right, I got to go get me some KFC chicken and waffles then.
Taco Bell's breakfast crunch wrap. We've already sung the praises of the crunch wrap. Taco Bell's top fan-ranked breakfast fast food item is this one. Fans and columnists will tell you alike that the crunch wrap above anything else is the best. It's the complete on-the-go meal and even has a hash brown stuffed inside to give you an appetizer and an entree all at once. Taco Bell changed the fast food game with their breakfast menu, and this crunch wrap was the crown jewel amongst its revolutionary lineup. It's not as popular as any of the top five by long shot, though, but it's still a breakfast item to remember. Number five here is Chick-fil-A's Chicken Minis. Number four is White Castle Sausage, Egg, and Cheese Sliders. Don't sleep on White Castle. The slider icon is making a brilliant breakfast slider, and it's easily has the best egg of any fast food chain. They actually cook it up whole fresh eggs on the spot, and it comes close to having a runny yolk at times. That simple combo of sausage, egg, and cheese is perfectly done by White Castle. Now if they can just get a bigger version of it. We'll have two of them. Bojangles Cajun Filet Biscuit. Bojangles specializes in the chicken and biscuits game, so you know their biscuits, their breakfast biscuits, are going to be fire. According to Business Insider, none of Bojangles' sandwiches touches the chicken filet biscuit, or the Cajun filet biscuit, and we can see why. Like spicy chicken biscuits, like Chick-fil-A's discontinued version, Bojangles can give Chick-fil-A a run for its money with their version, which is equally simple and equally tasty. While spicy chicken is always delicious, there is one cult following for a sweet chicken biscuit that tops it, and that's Whataburger's Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit. Bojangles may have an amazing spicy chicken biscuit, but they don't have an ode dedicated to it. Whataburger's Honey Butter Chicken Biscuit, however, has many for good reason. It's a sweet combo. It's a honey of sweet combo, creamy butter, and crispy chicken. And it's divine, they say. Here's Mike on WGN. He's in Berwyn. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Nick. You know what? Right before you did your onion segment, I called. I'm like, you know what? I'll call back. As you were doing that, I just got dropped off by a buddy of mine. And this is with I don't even know how to put this. No advertising, nothing, you know. I had never had this before. It's a two Belgian waffles, sausage, egg and cheese, White Castle. I didn't even know they had this.
Yeah, it's new. It's brand new, Mike. It's brand new. They've unveiled. It looks. How is it?
I had two of them. Amazing. And I'm like, this is with no drinks in me.
Yeah, it's with no drinks. See, sober White Castle's got good breakfast.
Listen, yeah, no, I saw. You know, that's the last thing you ever wanted. You know, the next day when I used to hang out back in the day, the last thing you wanted was a White Castle before that. But
yeah.
You know what? This is two Belgian waffles. It takes care of the honey, the sweet and the sour.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad, and it's cheap. All you need is two of them. Trust me.
All right. All right, Mike. Thanks. Thanks for the call.
Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Later. Take care. There we go. Belgian waffle sandwich at White Castle. Well, Captain Egg, or whatever his mascot name is, seems to enjoy it. 773 says, I think it's been about 5 years since I've had Wendy's breakfast. It killed me then and that they didn't go national, so this is just great, great news. People are very excited about Wendy's now going national. 309 area code says, Casey's General Store breakfast pizza.
I've heard people go nuts about this because, you know, Casey's, you have to go out of the city.
Yeah.
Like that's on the, you know, your interstates and everything like that.
Right.
People sing this praises. They proselytize it like it's the second coming of Christ.
Okay. 708 area code, the hot cakes at Mickey D's. And then finally on this article here from foodbeast.com, they say the number one fast food breakfast item from across the nation is McDonald's hash browns. And they're only picking one item from each place. Underrated, perhaps, but when was the last time you got breakfast anywhere without hash browns? Hands down, the best ones belong to McDonald's. Ronald McDonald consistently pumps out the best breakfast in the game, and his hash brown was voted by fast food junkies as the best breakfast item of all time. Throughout time, their hash brown has been the side item of choice for fans, and it's hard to leave McDonald's without picking one up and go on the side. Because of that, its popularity among fans, and because of McDonald's dominance of the breakfast game, it rightfully deserves the title of best breakfast item. It takes the crown of fast food breakfast icon. Yeah, the McDonald's hash brown, man. You can't go wrong.
It's that good.
It's great. It is great. So, all right. So, what do we got? Who's going to be on the show tomorrow? Tomorrow's Thursday.
Well, tomorrow, Jim Ryan is going to join us.
Oh, yes.
Because we got a preview Riot Fest.
Right.
And he went and saw Kanye West Sunday Service.
Right, 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 right. So, a lot of music stuff to talk about with Jim. By the way, we have a brand new trivia game to play with Jim.
Really?
Yeah, I ordered a brand new trivia game, ooh, and it arrived. So we will start a new trivia game that the three of us will play, a music trivia game.
Fantastic.
Because Music IQ, we ran out of cards. So, all right, so Jim Ryan will be here, and that'll be great. Be Triple Play Thursday as well.